Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Sorry about the extended drum loop there. I was doing a little bit of on-the-fly audio engineering. But this is The Horn. This program is live, and it is the 21st day of February, 2019. HeadOn.live is where you'll find our presence on the interweb tubes. And that's also where you go if you want to, for instance, pick yourself out a screen name and a password at the tab that says chat room and jump into the wacky, merry, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat during the 3 hours in which this program is, in fact, live, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you do so, you'll be immediately met and greeted by the likes of Anatole and David, the Vermont one, and Dennis and Jimmy from the Northwest, and Scott from Northern Kentucky, Squeaky, and VT Blom. Thanks, everybody, for dropping by. It's a wonderful group. They'll all be happy to see you. And you'll be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, while a spacing guild master, has chosen not to fold space because it's ugly and cold in Northern California again, and not folding space into that and becoming man cave is the better part of valor, as Shakespeare put it. You will also be moderated by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy and owner of a brand-new printer, Steve, from Georgistan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and I put something up on social media a little bit ago, and let's get this out of the way in a hurry. I have no intention this evening, this thorn in the side Thursday, of talking about the Jussie Smollett matter. None, zero, zip, not a nil, niente, nihil, just no. Because I'm going to go back to something that actually matters. I'm going to go back to the fact that the Coast Guard has apparently, as probably is the case with all the other armed services, been infiltrated by a substantial number of white wingers, neo-Nazis, nationalist Klansmen, etc. I knew it was going to... I turned off all the multimillionaire for-profit media about 10 o'clock this morning when MSNBC actually led with that story instead of the guy who wanted to murder, let's see, Polka Warren. That's how he referred to Elizabeth Warren, the Lieutenant Hassan did of the Coast Guard, who wanted to murder Nancy Pelosi, who wanted to murder... let's see, how did he refer to Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal? Yes, Senator Blumenjew. And something just tells me that in light of what we've been living with for the past 2 years and change plus, since racism and bigotry and homophobia and, well, the homicidal maggot mania came into fashion, that they, maybe we're better off talking about that. But, of course, before we, I'm sorry that the White Rose stream isn't working. It just doesn't work a lot of the time. I'm terribly sorry, but HeadOn.live is really good almost all the time. So maybe make a default to listening that way. I mean, I'm not being mean, but I don't know what it is about the servers at White Rose. I don't know if I don't know a server from a shoehorn, and it just doesn't work a lot of the time for reasons that are beyond me. I'm sending, everything looks happy, but it ain't working. So it's always, you know, maybe it's a good idea to, well, okay. Steve says it's working. Steve in New York. Steve says White Rose Society is working. I'm listening on there. Okay. Well, some folks say it isn't. Maybe that's a tune in thing. I honest to God don't know. It's just sort of beyond me, but we have thanks to send out, as we do at the beginning of every program. And we've got tremendous thanks to all of our subscribers. Thank you very kindly to Joan in Talibandiana. Thank you, Joan, so very, very much. And thanks as well. Damn it. I hate it when it does that. And thanks as well to hold on. That was, yeah. Thanks to our buddy at Shadow Mountain Graphics in Arizona. Thank you very kindly. And thanks to two people. Thanks to Peg in the Sandbox, and thanks to an anonymous person. For a pair of Have a Show on Me's, because it's we took down the deficit by a big lick. Our anonymous Have a Show on Me sent a note along. I have decided that I can't let the horn wither and die. Have a Show on Me. Make it anonymous. And I cannot thank you enough. And thanks again to Peg for in the Sandbox for the Have a Show on Me. That's a tremendous difference, because this is the last day. This should be the last day of fundraising for the month of February, this 21st day of February. We should have a fundraising free Friday on the front porch, a fundraising free More In Monday, Titanic Tuesday, prayer meeting Wednesday, and Thorn in the Side Thursday next week. Oh, sorry, Dave. I screwed up. Our buddy at West Mesa is in Arizona. Shadow Mountain is our buddy Dave in Vermont. I'm so sorry. So very, very sorry. And it's the way that PayPal sends me notifications. I only see what goes into the field. So my apologies. But here we are, and we've got $376.21 to go to finish February and not have to go for a Friday on the front porch, community made miracle, or anything. $376.21, and we're finished with fundraising. And the bills are paid that get us out of February and into March. So there we stand. Okay, so that would be 10 at 37, 37 at 10, and all the other ciphering that goes along with it. And hopefully we'll knock it down, and we'll be good to go beginning tomorrow evening. Barring that, we'll be having a Friday on the Front Porch fundraiser, which I would prefer not to do. But thanks to all of our subscribers who make sure that we've got one quarter of our fundraising covered for any given month. Thank you very, very much indeed. We got some sunshine here today. 3 or 4 hours of it. And I made a point of getting out in it. We were up north of 50 degrees. Just a t-shirt and jeans and a pair of hiking boots, and had to go across the river and over the mountain for and into the settlements for supplies. Came back, stopped, walked down a squishy little trail for a while. I've been threatening to do that, and I did, and I just feel ever so much better from having done that. Daggum. It was refreshing. I had my, and along the way, I ran into a robot. You'll see the picture on my social media. I believe that was Bumblebee from the Transformers. And we both agreed that we look great in that school bus yellow. My coat, his robot shielding armor, what have you. So had to stop and do a selfie with Bumblebee the robot. Okay, Brother Deacon Asa tells me we are hot on both thorny streams, because it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and that's real wonderful to know, because it gets kind of flusterating. Okay. Like I said, this was one of those days that kind of got started by having the multimillionaire for-profit media get under my skin, as it gets under yours. But more so than usual, and yes, I apologize, it has to do with my filthy little habit that I engage in every morning. It's almost gotten to be habitual. I automatically wake up about 6 o'clock, or if a few minutes before, I go ahead and turn on the telescreen, and there's that woman on MSNBC who looks a great deal like the I don't know why it's a thing, and I don't know why I'm constantly being reminded of it, but who looks like the really scary monstrous face from that Star Trek episode that was really adorable little Clint Howard all along. But there she was on MSNBC alongside some guy whose name I can't remember. And then, you know, my dirty little habit started, and the day started speeding swiftly downhill. They did, at least, the MSNBC Morning Zoo crew, they did at least cover the homicidal maggot maniac who wanted to murder, what was the term he used again? Yes. Senator Blumenjew and Senator Polka Warren, and searched phrases like, riot if Trump impeached, or something along those lines. He's being held in custody now. Yes, it means that the FBI found this homicidal Trump-supporting maniac, and that the system worked the way it was supposed to. But because I'm a little ray of sunshine, I couldn't help thinking every day that people like Donald Trump and Bob Barr have their hooks in the Department of Justice is another day that the next one is less likely to be caught. Because they don't... Snickers bars don't help, Robert. Robert up in Morgantown. You need to eat a Snickers bar. You're not you when you're hungry. I can't eat a Snickers bar. There's already too much of me as it is. it's going to be a damn job working off the winter flab once the warm weather gets here. But that's part of taking that little walk today. The walks are going to get longer, more intensive, maybe faster. There will not be any running. But they got to talking about this homicidal Trump supporter who was a commissioned officer in the United States Coast Guard. And I couldn't help feeling like something was missing. And then lo and behold, they brought on there on that the program that I watch in the mornings. They brought on someone to talk about him and to talk about white wing violence. It smelled a little like a setup because they brought a columnist on, and she seems very, very young to be a columnist, but maybe that's because I'm getting older and older and older. A young woman by the name of Kristen Soltis Anderson. Now, they gave her a column over at a fish wrap called the Washington Examiner. And I'm insulting fish all over the world by suggesting that that the innards after cleaning fish would be wrapped up in this miserable broadsheet. Because it's awful. It's along the lines of that, oh, what was that god-awful newspaper? Maybe it still exists, that was out over in Pittsburgh, that was run by Richard Mellon Scaife and his clan of merry white wingers. Anyway, the Washington Examiner is just it's a home for the otherwise unemployables. It's a wingnut welfare emporium. And apparently one of the beneficiaries of that wingnut welfare is this Kristen Soltis Anderson. And so they set her up to talk about this homicidal maggot maniac. It was almost like professional wrestling, because the guy who is the chief pontificator and fulminator there, the former member of the House of Representatives who likes to refer constantly to Donald Trump as lifelong Democrat Donald Trump, well, he tied into her. And for some people, it may have almost seemed impressive. Just, you know, not me. Because, well, maybe my bullshit detector is tuned a little too finely. So we'll start there. Here we go. Remember, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. Yow!
Condemn what has happened. That's what a president does.
Why would he condemn something that he supports? Why would he condemn something that he has encouraged throughout his entire campaign? Why would he has said during rallies, as we've all talked about many times before, go out and beat up as many people as you want to. I will pay for your lawyer bills. He said that a member of Congress who was running for Congress, who sucker punched a reporter, knocked him down, was arrested for assault and battery, I believe, said that was his kind of guy. Because the reporter actually got punched for simply asking a question about health care. And Donald Trump celebrated that. Donald Trump celebrated the good old days when people would just get laid out and carried out on a stretcher, as Donald Trump said. No, listen, he's always, as we've said, he's always encouraged this. He's always celebrated this. He is not shocked by this. Apparently, his silence shows this is exactly what he wants.
Yeah, and Kristen Soltis Anderson, I think it used to be easier to poll people's beliefs, what they support, what they don't support. But this president has put the truth on the line. And I wonder at this point what we would see if we took a look at exactly what people believe to be true when it comes to the press or this presidency.
Okay, so we've got the setup here. Joe's done some pontificating. Oh, it was the Pittsburgh Tribune. Thank you, Robert, up in Morgantown, for reminding me. Yeah, that was that Richard Mellon Scaife birdcage liner. And then Mika was right there alongside to reinforce what Joe said, because they're both terribly serious people, and they're terribly, terribly concerned about the rise of Trumpian violence. So, I don't know. Kristen Soltis Anderson looks like she's maybe 17. That's not a criticism of her appearance. There's no misogyny involved. I just have a hard time imagining that she has much in the way of perspective on white wing hate. That's all I'm saying. Because for all I know, she's one of those people that thinks that there was no history before she became interested in whatever she's interested in. Because it's a real factor out there, said the cranky old geezer who knows a little history. So here she goes. And I guess this is why she was brought in. She's over there at what appears to be the Washington, D.C. Bureau. And I guess Joe and Mika and the rest of the Morning Zoo crew are in New York. And then this happened.
Well, we know that voters, and not just conservative voters, do have serious reservations about whether they think they can trust the media, that those numbers have been declining over the course of the last decade. But there's a really big difference between saying, you know, I don't know that I can trust everything I see in the news, and I'm going to go Google search to try to figure out how I can cause physical harm to reporters. There's a huge leap there. Now, there are always crazy individuals out there.
There it is. There it is. The Rush Limbaugh defense. My friends, I am not a newsman. I am an entertainer. So if I get somebody so worked up they decide to go and shoot up a bunch of children performing Annie at a Unitarian Universalist congregation, don't hold me to blame. I agree, Rush. Just because I, Glenn Beck, fulminate constantly about the Tides Foundation, if somebody gets all liquored up and decides to go and shoot up the Tides Foundation because they've heard me screaming about what a bunch of progressive commies they are, I can't possibly be held accountable for that because crazy people. That's right. That's right. I, Bill O'Reilly, have repeatedly described Dr. Tiller as Tiller the Killer, because he provided women's reproductive health services. But just because I did that practically every night, week in and week out, and then somebody finally assassinated Dr. Tiller, you can't say that I had anything to do with that, because obviously, crazy people. And so there's Kristen Soltis Anderson repeating the crazy people defense. I mean, there's just, you know, sometimes there's going to be some crazy people out there. You know, you'd think if a guy was a lieutenant in the fucking Coast Guard, that maybe the Coast Guard would have noticed if he was a crazy people. But instead, he stockpiled weapons, semi-automatic rifles, shotguns, hunting rifles that could be used as a sniper rifle, pistols, ammunition, thousands of rounds of it. And then started writing around, checking in, scoping out the habits and the whereabouts of various and sundry Democratic political politicians and folks like old Chris Hayes at MSNBC. And somehow or another, even though he was working at the headquarters staff of the United States Coast Guard, nobody there at the Coast Guard ever said, I guess he's eccentric, him wearing those big floppy clown shoes and that fright wig and that clown, that big red bulbous clown nose to work every day. But he seems sane enough to us. No, because he didn't. Because he was just a plain old garden variety white wing, neo-Nazi, nationalist, God, for all we know, Klansman, devotee of the likes of Anders Breivik, and described himself as having been a skinhead 30 years before, back before he joined the Coast Guard. And I guess the whole background check for the Coast Guard must have missed that whole skinhead neo-Nazi thing. Or maybe they just don't, maybe they just don't take being a skinhead neo-Nazi that seriously. I read one comment earlier today that said on a particular military base the person was referring to that there are 3%er and Oath Keeper bumper stickers on cars all over the place on base. You take that for what it's worth. It's anecdotal, whatever. But there's Kristen Soltis Anderson all ready to deploy the crazy people defense.
We had the newsroom shooting that tragically took the lives of some journalists in Annapolis not too long ago. That one was inspired by sort of local issues, personal mental health issues.
Yeah. And never mind the fact that Donald Trump had been hollering fake news and enemy of the people, and people going to his rallies, the maggots, would scream Lügenpresse, no, really, in the original German, Lügenpresse, at the press pool covering these caverns as they gathered in conclave. Yet never mind all that. Obviously, the guy shot up the newsroom in Maryland because crazy people. Never mentioning crazy people who were sane enough to buy a shit ton of guns, when guns are not supposed to be sold to crazy people. And I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, mocking or making light of or gooning on people who suffer from mental illness. Not in the least. What I find particularly galling is the fact that people like Kristen Soltis Anderson will instead climb up on the back of people who have mental health issues, who are no more likely to engage in violent conduct than the sane population writ large, because that too is a goddamn fact. No, it's on her for using the mentally ill population to catapult her propaganda that somehow or another maggots are no more violent than the rest of the country, when every last piece of statistical evidence we have says that they goddamned well are. Anyway, Kristen, go on.
The shooting of Gabby Giffords back during the Obama administration wasn't inspired by politics. It was inspired by a young man with severe mental issues who thought that things like the money was being manipulated.
Well, Chris,
because you've got individual people who are crazy. No, this gentleman, the Coast Guard guy, is 100% inspired by rhetoric coming from the president. My point is that even in the absence...
What about the pipe bomber?
Yep, that was inspired by the president, too. You can look at his van. Joe, let me finish my point. My point is that even in the absence...
Who was the synagogue shooter?
He said it was in part because of white supremacists and the caravan. Joe, you have put words in my mouth. I'm not saying this is not because of the president.
No,
I'm saying that there is existing layers of crazy, and that when you have additional rhetoric added into that, it creates a more unstable situation.
No,
which is why I think the
president
should come out and... I 100% think that President Trump views this as it's like pro wrestling and no one's going to get hurt. And my point is that even in the absence of...
Even that statement is a defense of his hyper-violent rhetoric. Well, you know, he says these things, but it's because... I give her style points for working in the professional wrestling. Very few people do that. I do that. I point out the fact that this is not the reality television show presidency. This is the professional wrestling presidency, because that is where he got his TV start. That is where he got his whole idea of how to work a crowd. God Almighty, there's video out there of, you know, if only Scott's Aunt Effie could have been around long enough to have seen Donald J. Trump actually hit somebody with a chair, because you can find that video. But just because that is his métier for how he goes about manipulating information and, more importantly, voters, that does not mean that he does not also understand that he benefits by the violence that he's got people whipped into a fever pitch ready to commit. And, you know, I mean, this is some of the finest early morning zoo crew pontificating that we've had in a while. I mean, if there was dudgeon to be had, it was the very high variety of dudgeon that Joe found himself in here. As Randy in PA points out, and I'm a right winger, so I'm going to talk over you just like good old William F. Buckley used to. Paraphrasing. Well played. Well played, Randy. Well played indeed. And, of course, as Todd points out by message, Joe and Mika went a long way to build up Donald J. Trump, because, gosh, he might not have been good for America, but like Les Moonves said over at CBS, he was very good for NBC. But I will simply say, as an aside, that living with threats against your life will add in another layer of stress that, if you have not dealt with it, you really can't comprehend. So I went so far last night as to send out a little note. I don't know if it ever reached him. But through my contact there with the program, I just sent a note wishing the best from myself and my family to Chris Hayes and his family. Because it is a, to say the least, stressful, nerve-wracking thing to know that there are out there, that there are really people out there who are making plans to kill your ass. The community of color probably knows a little bit more about this than most of your garden variety white folks, because Klan. The Jewish community probably knows a little bit more about this than your average garden variety white folks, because Nazis and the Klan and skinheads. I'm sure you see what I mean. But it'll mess with your head in a big bad way. Steve in New York says, let's be very simple here. How many people at maggot rallies have beaten, verbally assaulted, and screamed at people versus at any Bernie or Hillary rally? And, of course, it may appear in this clip, but Little Willie Geist, they're sort of like sidekick dude. They used to work with Tucker Carlson, so you kind of know where his ideological heart is. He made a point of jumping out there and saying, well, you know, a Bernie Sanders supporter almost killed Steve Scalise. Now, he didn't refer to Steve Scalise as a Klan sympathizer, which, of course, Steve Scalise is, because, after all, he did go and give some remarks to a civic organization that later turned out to be a bunch of damnable white supremacists, and then backed away from it by saying, I had no idea that those were white supremacists. I was just giving my civic stump speech to them. Goodness me, sakes alive, mercy sakes. I certainly disavow and never... Right. And then goes on about his business of behaving with the most fawning obsequiousness toward outfits like the National Ruble Association. You can see how... But then, to give Willie Geist credit, he said, and the minute that word came out that shooter was a Bernie Sanders supporter, why, by Jiminy, Bernie jumped right out there and disavowed and condemned the shooter. Donald Trump has never done any such thing. So you give credit where credit is due. Back to young Kristen.
Rhetoric. These are already dangerous professions, the media, politics. And so I think viewing it as, well, this is just pro wrestling and I can say things and it doesn't matter, is a dangerous thing for the president to be doing. And I...
Time out. Since when is politics supposed to be a dangerous profession? The only way that politics and journalism are dangerous professions is if people who are not politicians or journalists choose to make it dangerous. And so, they really aren't dangerous professions unless you live in a dangerous place. And this country, being as how the free press is supposed to be protected almost above all other professions, seeing as how it's the only profession that's, you know, mentioned in the Constitution. Well, the only way it gets to be dangerous is if we are somehow failing our own civics. Yeah, I know. Steve in New York, the same thing. Wait a minute, journalism is dangerous? So, again, back to young Kristen.
I wish that he would stop.
Van, what do you think?
I don't know if he doesn't know what's going to happen here. I think, especially when he's being boosted by people who are praising him for telling it like it is, for lifting the veil on political correctness. I think everybody knows, and people who want the world to go back to a certain time, everybody knows behind that veil is the threat of real violence. And I'm a Southerner. If I talk to old journalists who were around during Jim Crow, if I talk to people who were alive during that era, one of the biggest components of that regime was threats against journalists for coming down and covering all these things. And this was kind of like the, you know, we don't like political correctness. We want you to go out and tell like it is. And this was what candidates back then in the Jim Crow South ran on, built their platforms on. They implicitly encouraged attacks on journalists who questioned them. And this is what I think everybody who's sort of in power knows. And this, the reason for political correctness, for being a strong of the First Amendment, is not just to protect the right to go out and say things in public. It's to protect the real safety of journalists and people who are asking questions. And people who are going against that, who are calling journalists enemies of the people, I think they know what they're doing.
This might be a good time to note that the people who did all that journalist harassing, journalist attacking, and the journalist attempts murder, the people who killed Viola Liuzzo and others, the people who buried Cheney, Goodman, and Schwarmer in an earthen dam in Mississippi, don't tell Joe and Mika, but those weren't a bunch of liberals. Those were conservatives. You know, just like Joe Scarborough proudly describes himself to be to this very day. Not to put too fine a point on it. Glenn in San Diego says, interesting how Jussie Smollett makes the headlines immediately upon his arrest when this white power Coast Guard fuck was arrested last fucking Friday. Yeah, on the other hand, though, it's because there is a department or a program at, I think, George Washington University that keeps track of right-wing hate. And they just happened to check out the arrest warrant and the affidavits involved, and lo and behold, there it was. And that's another important part of this story, because journalism didn't uncover this story. A project designed to track domestic terrorism did. The New York Times didn't discover it. Neither did the Washington Post. Nor the Baltimore Sun. Nobody there in that immediate area discovered this case. And then, lo and behold, this morning, the broadcast media couldn't get away from it fast enough to cover, for God's sakes, ad infinitum, ad nauseam, the Jussie Smollett matter. And I still say I do not intend to discuss that case, except insofar as I'm discussing it in this context of why is that story sucking all the oxygen out of the room, when in fact there are white-wing, white nationalist, white supremacist, neo-Nazi, Klansman, three-percenter, oath-keeper, insurgents embedded in our military and police forces all over this country. And the for-profit media, the multimillionaire for-profit media, seems to have no interest whatsoever in shining a light on it. Dennis with a note. I randomly came upon a thought today with the announcement of the Mueller report maybe coming out soon. The idea of Cohen and Manafort and now Stone, what if they only agreed to cooperate with the fullest intention of lying and getting caught? Once someone is marked a liar, they lose credibility as a witness. What if one or all three are needed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt Trump's involvement? My greatest fear is Trump getting away with everything and getting reelected. I think it's probably safe to say, Dennis, that is a deep and abiding fear of just about everybody living through who isn't a maggot and is living through this nightmare period in American history. Everybody who is part of the resistance, everybody who is a Democrat, everybody who isn't Susan Sarandon or Jill Stein. If there's an upside, it's that any time there's a cooperating witness in a criminal case, that witness is going to be flawed. Very seldom do your key witnesses in a criminal case have pristine, clean hands and can prove that they've never missed a day of Sunday school and that they are, in fact, the little old lady from Dubuque. Prosecutors are used to this. Prosecutors know that the people you're going to have to work with to prove your case are quite often not the most savory characters. They're certainly nobody that you would want to go and drink beers with, you know, say with Brett Kavanaugh. So I think it's probably more a matter of classic ancient Greek, the classic ancient Greek concept of hubris. Manafort, Stone, Cohen, they thought they were never going to get caught, largely because Donald Trump probably told them they would never get caught, and once he found out he was going to be president and for a while, that they could always count on him for a pardon. That's the way I'm looking at it. Hope that helps. Irish Dave pointing out, damn it, you whippersnappers don't seem to realize there's a difference between wrestling and wrestling. Oh, I know that. Wrestling is something that happens in high schools. Wrestling is a vehicle for young male eating disorders, whereas wrestling takes place down to the armory, in which the Blue Marauder takes on the Red Demon on Friday. And the Blue Marauder wins, and then the Red Demon takes on the Blue Marauder the following day at some other armory, and the Red Demon wins. Big difference. And no eating disorders.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, Joe, in every crime,
Mike Barnicle,
potential crime, crime committed, crime on the verge of being committed, there's always a motive. Bob Mueller, in his search for truth, he's looking at motives. In Chicago, they're looking at motives. In every crime, there's a motive. In crimes of hate, there are also motives. And the fellow who they grabbed yesterday with the cache of weapons, 15 weapons, and a list of people that he wants to kill, and a list of questions that he asked and posed on the internet, where do they live, who has Secret Service protection, who doesn't, there's a motive. And in this case, the motive is clearly hatred. And the hatred, unfortunately, and the truth of the hatred, the root of the hatred, is often found in the intent of the President of the United States to daily use his Twitter account to divide the country, among races, among everything. He's just intent on dividing the country. It's the first time in our history we have had it. We're living through it. Hopefully we will all survive it. But you cannot deny that it is out there. It exists on a daily basis. The President of the United States is a divider.
So, Christian, I want to circle back to you for a second. You had said that the president sees us all as pro wrestling. I think that may have been the case during the campaign. But don't you think that at 72 years of age, after generating rhetoric that you and I, and I think almost every rational American knows, inspired the pipe bomber to send pipe to his political targets, after Donald Trump's words on his caravan conspiracy theories about Middle Easterners and all the other crazy conspiracy theories, inspired a man to go into a Pittsburgh synagogue and gun down 11 Jewish worshipers, after this Coast Guard arrest where a guy had a stockpile of weapons and a plan to again gun down all of Donald Trump's opponents in Congress and all the people that are journalists who Donald Trump perceives as opponents and who has attacked, don't you think at this point he should, any rational human being that had his mental faculties about him, should they not know that this is not pro wrestling, that his words have actually led to some violent actions? And that
something happened at his rally recently. There was the BBC cameraman who was hurt at the rally in front of him. So you're right that he should know that there are real consequences here. I'm suggesting that he does not think that, and I don't know why, but I believe that is part of why he has not publicly come out and instructed his supporters, hey, let's not take this too far.
What in the sweet name of heaven does let's not take this too far mean? Is it not too far to shriek Lügenpresse at members of the media, but it's too far when your followers want to murder the father of three precious little infants? And what empirical evidence is there to suggest that he doesn't understand the meaning of his words? Is she trying to set up an insanity defense? For those of you versed in the law, is she trying to set up a monotone defense for him? Because here's the thing. The monotone test, which is the test of insanity in a criminal case, is a really, really high bar to try to get over for a criminal defendant. The criminal defendant, in order to set up an insanity defense under monotone, has to practically not even know what planet he or she is on. And if that is the case, that as she appears to be saying here, Kristen Soltis Anderson, if that's the case, then Donald Trump is definitely in 25th Amendment land. It becomes a bit of a Kobayashi Maru for him. Because if he's all monotoned up, then that means he has no appreciation whatsoever for the quality of his actions. He has no ability to comprehend what is or is not legal, no ability to comprehend what is or is not socially acceptable, and is basically all set to put on the fancy dinner jacket with the long sleeves that buckles up the back, and write on the wall on the very, very soft walls with a purple crayon, which in turn sort of validates what Andrew McCabe has been saying on every program that he can get on in the last few days, and that is that, yeah, there was a conversation about the 25th Amendment. Everybody understood that the only person who can trigger the 25th Amendment is, in fact, the Vice President of the United States, and that something on the order of half of the cabinet has to go along with. So, which is it? Is he so, by virtue of the operation of anything from senile dementia to spirochetes to cerebral atherosclerosis, unable to... But the thing is, if he's all of that, then I'm going to win, and I'm going to win big on that $5 bet that I placed that before he leaves the White House, he's going to tear his clothes off and start playing with his little Donald in front of God and everybody and all the cameras. Or just drop trow and, I don't know, take a wee on Jim Acosta. There's no middle ground here. The world that this young woman from the right-wing birdcage liner in D.C. is setting up is strictly binary. It's either zero or one. There are no 1 7/8 or 1.0003279 Zero or one. Sane or nuts. Deliberately trying to stoke this country into some form of civil strife, or just so goddamned out of it that he can't tell the difference. And if you ask any lawyers out there who have ever tried to make the monotone test work for their client, they'll tell you that it's a long shot under almost any set of circumstances. Flavio with a note saying, with a quote from The Guardian Wednesday, one of the six people to survive the 2018 shooting at Maryland's Capital Gazette newspaper, Rachel Pacella, said Trump's media bashing makes her fear for her life and the lives of other reporters. Pacella responded to Trump's tweeted complaint that the press has never been more dishonest than it is today, with a string of tweets about her fears and the considerations she makes to protect herself. Five of Pacella's co-workers were fatally shot by a suspect who had a well-documented history of harassing the paper's journalists. She tweeted, as one of six survivors of our nation's only newsroom mass shooting, seeing generalized media bashing tweets from the president makes me fear for my life. His words have power and give bad actors a justification to act. I should say, far more importantly, that it makes me fear for my fellow reporters working on the local, state, and national level. It's snowing here, so I hopped up to shoot a video of snow falling over Annapolis from the window of our temporary office. It's gorgeous. And then I realized I couldn't post it because it would reveal our location. These are the things I have to think about every single day. And then Flavio quotes me from back at that time, saying, "See, it isn't stop him, he's going to get someone killed. It's stop him before he gets anybody else killed. We're at this point already." Thank you for noticing that, Flavio. Thank you. Steve in New York says, subject line, Scarborough. Okay, this is great. They're finalizing stating the obvious. Not to be the skunk at the picnic, but where's the apologies for kowtowing to Trump in 2016 and giving him all the free airtime? Oh, that you're not going to get. That's down the memory hole. That's just something that that never really happened. Instead, it's been replaced by, "Oh, we knew how bad he was, and we told him, Donald, knock it off. This is just not acceptable. Gosh darn it, quit doing that." And never all the times that he called in and blathered away, you know, screw the hard break, screw the soft break. Donald Trump is on the phone, and this is great for fucking ratings. Steve, who does practice law, of course he understands. He offered to pay their legal fees. So there's that, too. There's so that. But there's ever so much more than just that. Let's finish this clip.
"I think that he does not believe that he is personally responsible. That's very different from to what extent his work..."
Oh, bad English fail. "I think that he does not believe." No, no, young'un, you don't have any empirical data upon which to base the usage of the word think in, as in I think. No, Kristen Soltis Anderson believes because she's paid to believe because she works at the fucking Washington Examiner. She believes he doesn't believe. So now that we understand that there was that the word think had no business in that sentence, let's go back. And when she says think, hear believe.
"Who was hurt at the rally in front of him. So you're right that he should know that there are real consequences here. I'm suggesting that he does not think that. And I don't know why, but I believe that is part of why he has not publicly come out and instructed his supporters, hey, let's not take this too far. I think that he does not believe that he is personally responsible. That's very different from to what extent his words actually are responsible for motivating. And clearly in those examples you cited, you had a gentleman whose van was covered with things that included pictures."
A gentleman? A gentleman? Oh, I do say. A gentleman. With a van that was covered in anti-democratic party images and stickers and crosshairs on people's faces. I say, that gentleman had all of that on his van. Gentleman. What the happens to the English language when you get inside the fucking beltway and go to work for these Mandarin media outlets? Gentlemen. And it's not that he doesn't understand that there's no that people are getting hurt by what he says. It's that he has been told, and it does not believe, but in fact knows, that it is virtually impossible in this country, under our system of criminal jurisprudence, for him to be held responsible, liable at law, mens rea, criminal responsibility, all of that crap. It's impossible for that to be imputed to him when one of his followers goes off and acts on his words. I think I pointed out that the difference, say, between Charles Manson and Donald Trump in this particular instance is that Charles Manson was convicted because he actively told people face-to-face, person-to-person, go forth and do these things. Whether it's Glenn Beck, Bernie Goldberg, O'Reilly, Hannity, Limbaugh, Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, or any of those freaks, they always get to hide behind the notion of, well, I'm just an entertainer. I had no idea. I couldn't reasonably foresee that my words would lead to somebody shooting up a church or painting swastikas on it. Golly! It is a form of abuse of a rather broad loophole in our legal system, which incidentally is rather interesting because Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas the other day in a dissent to certiorari, or in a dissent from a vote against certiorari, against accepting a case in the Supreme Court, said that it's time for the Supreme Court to go back and reconsider the New York Times versus Sullivan standard that says that if you are a public figure, you have a much higher mountain to climb in order to prove something like libel or defamation because of your status as a public figure. Now, that is a legal standard that has been in place since the year after I was born, and has not been criticized, but rather has been, in fact, expanded via things like Falwell v. Hustler. But Slappy wants to make it easier for people like Donald Trump to torment people who tell the truth about him. And it's interesting that Trump, was tweeting about the very idea of retribution. Again, we talked about this last Monday, I think it was, after the Saturday Night Live skit that ran last week. He talked about retribution against the comedians on Saturday Night Live for having mocked him. That's what dictators do. That's a notion of lèse majesté that is absolutely and undeniably alien and inimical to our system of governance and to the very essence of the First Amendment itself. Meanwhile, while he wants to have retribution against a bunch of comedians, he does not ever want to be held personally responsible for the intentional acts he himself commits.
That suggests he was very supportive of the president, and that's what motivated him. But I think even given evidence like that, I don't think President Trump views himself as doing anything more than, it's just words. And I think until he realizes that these words do have serious consequences, I think it's unlikely to see that tweet that you and Mika and that the other folks on the show want to see him tweet.
Yeah. As long as it works for him, he's going to keep doing it. Period. Because this is the kind of red meat that keeps roughly one-third of the electorate of this country done to a tender turn and whipped up into a white, and I do mean white, hot fury. So that is that. And that could very easily be the end of the filibuster. That could very easily be the end of the issue. Except for one thing that kept sort of itching around inside my brain while I heard Joe there pontificating. Because there's this thing out there called history. And there's recent history and ancient history. Modern history, medieval history. History of the 20th century. And yes, even a history of the 21st century. And by virtue of the fact that we've been talking about this for a couple of days, by virtue of the fact that we have been talking about I mentioned it, I believe, last night, that the annual SPLC survey of hate groups in America just came out on Tuesday. I got to thinking about another time that so-called conservatives were in high dudgeon and full fulmination. And that was around April, around mid-April of 2009. Barack Obama, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, had not been in office for, let's see, had not been in office for fully 3 months when the Department of Homeland Security, under his DHS secretary, Janet Napolitano, issued a report. And that report said that this country had a really big problem with domestic right-wing terrorism, and that there was a tremendous potential out there for right-wing domestic terrorists to do horrible, horrible things in this country. God almighty, the white wing in this country, the Republicans, I mean, I thought they were just right there in front of everybody gonna lay down and kick up their legs and have kittens with crocheted tails. They were outraged. How dare that Kenyan Muslim usurper suggest that good God fearing upstanding American citizens who had been in the military and had been and had been exposed to God only knows how much white nationalist, white supremacist extremism would come back here and do domestic terrorism. How dare he? By God, the man walks around in a tan suit. How can you believe a word that he fucking says? Remember all that? Because I remember all that. And what was bugging me was that I was pretty sure that I remembered Joe Scarborough being one of those people who was outraged. Oh, and by the way, the report came out not quite 3 months into Barack Obama's first term in office, but the creation of the report had been commissioned under the George W. Bush administration. It came out on April the 7th. And at that point in time, on Morning Joe, he said, "This is scary." And Mika tried to say something. She said, "This is," and he said, "This is scary." And Mika said, "Spooky." While the report did not cite any impeding attack or name specific groups, it suggested military veterans could be particularly vulnerable to recruitment. Joe said, So let me..." And Barnacle said, "Dude, what the..." And Mika said, "What?" And Joe said, so So they have, Janet Napolitano and her department have put out a report in the Obama administration specifically warning that veterans returning home from war are to be feared, that they could be right-wing extremists that want to launch terror attacks on America. This, of course, coming at a time when we have a war on our southern border, when we have wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and threats of terrorism. Oh, wait. A war? A war at the southern border? That, by God, would be an emergency, wouldn't it? Funny. There's no war on our southern border anymore, is there? But he continued and said, And Janet Napolitano, the Department of Homeland Security, and Barack Obama are concerned about veterans coming home from war. Mika, yeah. Joe, and becoming right-wing extremists. Brzezinski, I want more. This, of course, is the same administration, Mike Barnicle, and I'm just stunned the media didn't say more about this. And I heard about this up at West Point from the kids up there that were talking about it. They were stunned that the Obama administration told veterans coming back from war who had injuries, you're going to have to take care of that yourself, take it up with a third-party insurer. Barnicle, I've not heard that. Oh, they did. And it went on like that, but it wasn't just Joe Scarborough. But in this particular instance, it matters that it was Joe Scarborough. Because, by God, he was more than happy to flay the hide off that poor little innocent cub reporter from, okay, not innocent, but that poor little cub reporter, columnist from the Washington Examiner. Jesus Christ, she's probably, maybe she's a decent human being. Maybe she just happens to have $250,000 student loans from getting her journalism degree, so she took the first job she could get, and that turned out being a hack and a flack for a right-wing birdcage liner. Let's go, as they say, to the tape. To that long, long ago time, yes, almost exactly 10 years ago, when this was discussed, somewhere around the 15th of April, 2009, back when there was a dangerous, dangerous black man just entering into his first term in office, and God knows where he was going to take America.
You might be concerned, but at the same time, again, I just go back to, what if Dick Cheney had told Tom Ridge, when he was the head of the Department of Homeland Security, to be on the alert for liberal groups?
Or what if the Bush administration Department of Homeland Security said, we're going to have it. Well, Joe just breezed by the fact that the W administration ordered this report, and that there was no time to turn it into some screed against poor, defenseless, innocent conservatives between January the 20th and April the 7th of 2009. The conclusions were already there as the W administration was on the way out the door.
What would people at this network,
I think it'd be
and every other right. network, say, what would the editorial page of the New York Times and Boston Globe say? The rage would be the chorus would be unbelievable. They would be vitriolic. They would be angry. They would spew for night after night after night. And here, I'm sure this will be met with silence because it's on the other side. But when you have a president.
Well, see, that's the thing. It wasn't met with silence. Barack Obama's administration moved swiftly to quash that report. One of the people who was instrumental in the production of the report went on to say later on to the Southern Poverty Law Center that that report was quashed, not because it was wrong, but because of the political pressure put on them to suppress the real-world data that they had accumulated that suggested that this country had a burgeoning, growing, white-wing, domestic terrorism problem. Now, I know y'all probably want to talk about this, but just let me finish, and then we'll go to the phones. Because we got a little bit more to do. Joe sets up a straw man and then just beats the stuffing out of it. And, yeah, it's almost 10 years ago. So, gosh, I'm sure Joe can't remember back when he excoriated the Obama administration for having the temerity to suggest that, oh, I don't know, somewhere down the road, maybe a Coast Guard lieutenant would come up with a hit list that included Nancy Pelosi and Senator Blumenjew and Senator Polka Warren. And Senator Schumer. And lots of others. None of whom are Republicans. He just forgot.
And you have the Department of Homeland Security more focused on targeting veterans than on protecting our border in the South, where a war is breaking out, are protecting us from, I don't know, Al-Qaeda? Isn't this interesting? They no longer want to use the term war on terror.
Right.
They don't want to use a war.
Bunch of liberal sissies.
War on terror, because that makes them feel uncomfortable. But they've got no problem targeting veterans returning from war. This is perverse.
Well,
and you can't defend it, can you?
No, I'm holding my fire on it because
there's not a war on terror, but there may be a war on veterans.
Well, this.
That's right. Suggesting we may have a domestic terrorism problem is a war on veterans. You know how come I remembered this? Because I remembered this happening. That's what happens when a program goes on for 15 years or more. And you know what? I've made my fair share of mistakes. I said I wasn't going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm going to say I got suckered on that other story that sucked all the oxygen out of the room today. I was ready to believe it because I am ready to believe that the maggots are homicidal. They are whipped into a white, and I mean white hot fury, and they are acting on it on any given day of the week, and this country is awash in white wing domestic terrorism. That's why I got suckered in by it. Because it was entirely believable. Because that's how the maggots are. Any given day of the week.
Report, the Reuters report, they're not targeting veterans. The department is concerned that right-wing extremists will attempt to recruit and radicalize returning veterans in order to boost their violent capabilities.
And guess what they did? They recruited veterans. That's who the 3%ers are. That is who the Oath Keepers are. That is who the white nationalists are. That's who the Patriot Prayer Group is. That's who the Proud Boys are. That's who the Klan is. That's who the Nazi Party is. And they ain't a bunch of sissy liberals. They got guns, they got motive, they got opportunity, and they got fucking intent. Yeah, Monique says, Bob, you mean the same Joe and Mika who laughed with Trump every day until he outed them as a couple while still married to others? That Joe and Mika? Why, yes, Monique, that Joe and Mika. And Mike Barnicle tries to set him straight, but Joe wasn't having any of it because Joe had an agenda to advance.
And this is a nutty story.
It's a nutty story though, just nutty. I wonder if it would. I wonder how it would have been if this guy, this Coast Guard lieutenant, had had fulfilled his self-appointed mission. I wonder if Barnacle and Scarborough and Brzezinski and Little Willie would have been sitting there saying, "Well, this is naughty."
For more, this is Reuters, and we have one source. I need more. I hear what you're saying, and I hear what makes you angry.
Well, it should make you angry.
I'm holding my fire.
It should make Americans angry.
But I...
Yeah. But that wasn't the end of it. When Barnacle tried to make a correction, and again, Scarborough wouldn't have any of it.
Okay. President Obama will arrive in Mexico today, where he's set to address the increasing violence along the U.S. southern border in a show of support to Mexico's president.
By the way, this was the next day. They'd had 24 full hours to figure out what was going on, but Joe was operating on the talking points that he got from the RNC, that he got from, for all I know, the folks upstairs at corporate. He was operating on the same crap that would be broadcast by Limbaugh and Beck and Hannity and O'Reilly. I think he was still on the radio. He was damn sure still on the TV. And the Republicans were doing what Republicans do best, staying on message.
The White House announced tough new financial penalties on three major drug cartels and threatened to prosecute Americans who do business with them. We're getting a live report coming up from NBC's Andrea Mitchell, who is in Mexico City.
Pay attention now.
And this morning,
as we said before, Janet Napolitano is going to be here. We're going to talk to her mainly about that because that's why she's coming on to talk. But we'll also ask her a couple questions about checking up on veterans, as Taylor.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to that
interview. That I do,
good.
Too.
I look forward to it. Oh, God damn, Janet Napolitano, that commie from that Obama regime. Oh, I look forward to it.
Tax returns.
You know, that's not what the report said. You know?
No. Well,
that's not, okay, that's Barnacle's voice.
That's not what the report said. You know?
No.
Whatever.
Yeah. We're going to talk.
Whatever. That's Scarborough's voice. Whatever. Not quite 10 years later, a commissioned officer in the United States Coast Guard is found with a hit list, with preparations, with an arsenal, and he's ready and the research necessary to go out and start doing the bidding that he perceives to have come to him via his commander-in-chief, Donald J. Trump. Whatever. See, this is how we get to where we are. This is how we get in that handbasket on that really broad, straight road headed into significantly warmer climes. Meanwhile, Monique asks, didn't the Klan get started by returning Civil War soldiers? People need to read a damn. Yeah, it did, and yeah, they do. But, you know, history's so dry and boring. And it's already over, and it's past. And, well, why would that mean anything to us? Right? I wanted to focus on this evening because this seems like such a perfect case study in the massive failures of the multimillionaire for-profit media. Because what you had in 2009 was Joe Scarborough putting his party allegiance ahead of the well-being of the United States of America. shall we say that he repented almost 10 years later? That he's seen the light, that he finally understands? Don't you believe it, Buster. Because if it should just happen by some miracle, and I feel like it's going to be a miracle if it happens, that we get ourselves shed of Julius Geezer and put a Democrat in the presidency on January the 20th, 2021, Joe Scarborough's fangs will be bared and dripping. And he will just be itching to take hunks out of that man or woman or man's hide. Can we be clear on that? And it'll be great for the ratings. This is why what happens on that Morning Zoo Crew program ain't journalism. The fact that they booked that poor young woman, Kristen Soltis Anderson, who is an opinion columnist for the right-wing Birdcage liner, tells you that they were not serious about doing any journalism. Why not reach out to the people who broke the damn story over at George Washington University? Or barring that, why not reach out to a real live, honest-to-Jesus subject matter expert in the topic? And by that I mean our good friend of many years, David Nywert. Why not do that? I mean, he's respectable. Why, by Jove, he's been published on the pages of the Washington Post, talking about the very topic of right-wing domestic terror. But that wouldn't have been very helpful, I guess, in polishing and burnishing up Joe's current agenda bona fides of being a never-Trumper. Well, thank you, Asa. Subject line, yeah, Bob, you go, boy. Darlene, thank you, Asa. Darlene in Connecticut. That's why what happened to ratfucker Roger Stone in court today was so refreshing. Stone, the MAGA maggot, conspiracy theorist, deep state promoter, ratfucker, I added the ratfucker part, not only put Judge Berman Jackson at risk, but Robert Mueller as well for referring to him as a deep state hitman. Could have sworn I read in the CNN article that Berman Jackson wants to revisit at a future point Stone's Instagram post incident in light of the First Amendment and possibly take it into consideration during sentencing, but I can't find that section anymore, and I'm wondering if CNN updated the article and removed it. That said, I'm sensing that Judge Amy Berman Jackson, with her well-placed sports analogy one-liners, has only begun throwing the book at Stone. Sounds like Stone could feel she had him by the proverbial balls, and man, was he squirming. Granted, this was all going down among a bunch of Republicans and Republican lights, but I'll take it as a start. I understand. Of course, he walked out of the courtroom still an unconfined individual. And forgive me, this is just my default position, but I couldn't help noting that if that man's skin had been a few shades darker, he, by Jesus, would have been in the clink. Flavio says, Scarborough, Obama is more focused on targeting veterans than fighting Al-Qaeda. I remember that headline, too. Memory, history, it's a funny thing. Glenn in San Diego, the majority report is on vacation right now. Vacation? What is this vacation of which you speak? But Sam Cedar pre-recorded an interview of an author, professor of history at, I believe, the University of Chicago. It played today, and it could not have been more timely. She's researched and written on the history of white power groups in America and how they relate and interact with both the military and law enforcement. Well worth a listen. Thanks. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks a bunch. Ah, vacation. Yes. If I wasn't afraid to screw up the file for YouTube. By God, I'd queue up the Go-Go's Vacation for the bumper. Monique says, I was trying to get at this yesterday, but white bigots wouldn't know what to do if all of us black people actually left this country. Who could they blame for their life failures and insecurities then? I know. Even the Civil War itself. It was, blamed on the fact of slavery. Because that's what it was about. The determination of some people to continue to benefit from other people's stolen labor. And the other side saying, you know, it's about time we stop that shit. And some 300,000 Americans died, and around 300 people who had sworn off their American citizenship and were no longer Americans died too. So here we are, halfway done with the program. If we want to get done with fundraising for the month of February and have us some fundraising-free radio, we need to raise $376.21. Ralph's, a little while ago, and I was so busy in the middle of my tantrum that I neglected to mention it, our buddy Ralph's put another 10 on the table if somebody else will match the 10. And that'll get us down to $356.21, and we will be off and running. So thank you, Ralph's, and hopefully some sort of mad flurry of help will continue. And thanks again so much for the two Have a show on Me's that happened overnight that kept this from being a $776 fundraising crater. So thanks. Thanks very much. Very much indeed. Thank you, Peg. Thank you, anonymous person. And thanks to all of our subscribers and everybody who contributes to keep this little experiment in independent broadcasting going. Vince, with a note on Twitter. Unfucking believable. Now you know all you need to know about who owns the airwaves. So sad. And I don't know how to get around the massive corporate ownership of the multimillionaire for-profit media, the massive right-wing ownership. But I'll tell you this much: what we do here is a little tiny attempt, like in what you just heard over the past hour and a half, to occasionally at least call them to account. And I'm sorry I made people wait, but sometimes I just have to get things I have to get things sorted out. And I hope we've done that. Ralph's, I just announced it, so hopefully somebody will meet your challenge. We eagerly await that news. Hey, Alex, thank you for jumping in. Alex just became a brand new Patreon subscriber. That's wonderful. So we'll credit that toward February, and we will say that I will consider that as having met Ralph's challenge, and that means we've only got 346.21 to go. 346.21. Of course, if you jump in on Patreon, nothing comes out until the first of the month. So thank you very much, Alex. Thank you very much indeed. I really can't do that, Scott. It took me an hour and a half to get through it. Help me, Bob. I was a little late to the show today. Please give me a recap of the headline and subhead. What's got you in such a lather today? My not being mean or anything, my best guess is to suggest that you that you check out the podcast when it goes up, either over at the feed over at White Rose Society, or of course on Podbean and Stitcher and YouTube and TuneIn and Spotify. We can't go dollar for dollar against the multimillionaire for-profit media, but we can make it as free and as easy for anybody to get who could possibly want it. Okay, let's run over to the stress line and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's me, Reggie, from Decatur, Georgia, once again. And there's three more presidents from our previous call that I forgot to mention that looked young when they went in but became old when they came out. And those three are Gerald Ford, George H.W. Bush, and finally George W. Bush himself. Like you said on Tuesday, they look young going in, but they look old coming out, right? How do you feel about those three guys?
Reggie, I tell you what. If you want to, we will talk about that another day. But for once, I'm going to be a little bit of a... I would far prefer to keep us on topic.
You mean like a media?
Well, yeah. The media, yeah. the domestic terrorism threat in this country that has been discounted for more than 10 years now. I think the issue is serious enough that we need to stay with it.
Right. Okay, yeah, you know, it is a mess of terrorism that nobody seems to want to, discuss, because I guess they're afraid that people will know exactly what it truly is and be frightened. I guess they don't want to fearmonger any more people than they already have. But isn't the right or white men already done that, fearmonger people into believing in things that aren't really happening or aren't really there? You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Bob?
But I think the larger issue is the fact that it's already here. What do we do about it?
Yeah, what do we do about it, man? How can we get rid of it? Or is it too late for that?
I think the barn doors are left open and the horse is long gone. The question, however, is if we're serious about it, then the Pentagon needs to, and of course the Coast Guard operates under the Department of Commerce, which is Wilbur Ross.
Right.
They need to stop toe dancing around the idea of what's been done here. And so the bottom line for me is that if there's ever going to be a fix to this situation, it's gonna have to entail a root and branch excision of everything Trump and in fact everything GOP from our federal government. We're going to have to so reduce the GOP's numbers that they won't even have that they won't even have enough to throw a riot in a phone booth.
So in other words, we have to clean house, starting with the White House.
Yeah, we have to take and maintain enough power to, for instance, when they throw hissies over the fact that this country is awash in right wing extremism, that we have enough political power to tell them to sit down and shut up.
Yeah, well, we're going to be able to do that because.
I'll tell you when we can do that. I've been time after time, night after night. I keep saying, dare to dream. Work hard enough. Be so determined to get enough people out to the polls, to get a Democratic president in 2020, in November 2020, to get an even larger House majority, and run the Republican majority right out of the Senate, and don't quit until they're swimming in the fucking Potomac.
Right. And we can do that if only the Democrats weren't so, shall we say, spineless. But most of them weren't so spineless to do that. But like you say, we got to clean house. starting with the White House on down, man. But we can only do that if we're a unified unit or union. Because, you know, Republicans, even though they disagree with each other, they always, you know, become united over it, over anything and everything else, especially what they firmly believe in. You know, all, you know, the principle that they believe in, at least they're united on those fronts. Whereas those Democrats are,
well, that's another part of it. We have to unify. We have to learn the lessons of 2016. We cannot take our eyes off the prize, and we cannot allow ourselves to be divided. And this time through, at least maybe we'll but human beings are funny people. Maybe we'll have enough sense to pay attention on things like social media and realize and ask the right questions. As to whether or not we might possibly be getting manipulated.
Right.
There are a lot of people who are out of the gate now, and they have fully joined on to this or that or the other cult of some particular Democratic presidential candidate, when by far and away the better practice would be to let the process at least work its way out. You know what? Even if you're in New Hampshire, Iowa, or South Carolina, you got a fucking year to choose between the candidates, and you don't have to just get married right goddamn now.
Right, and we have to stop attacking and eating our own in the Democratic Party.
Well, that's part of what I'm talking about, Reggie.
Right.
I mean, I'm in West Virginia. I'm not going to get a primary vote until May of 2020, and that is 15 months away for me.
Yeah.
So for me to run out and fall madly in love with some Democratic candidate is just horseshit.
Yeah.
I want to see who's strong enough and talented enough and sharp enough to stand up to that goddamn fascist bully in the White House and wear him the hell out every time he opens his fat, stupid, belligerent, bloodthirsty, violence-inciting mouth.
Yeah, so you want them to debate him and get him the hell out of there. You want them to go toe-to-toe against him, you know, toe-to-toe with him. You know, stand up to him and won't be intimidated or bullied by him or cowering down to him or even bowing down to him. They want some spineless liberal doing that, because they'll fold like a stack of cards, right, Bob?
Well, it all remains to be seen. Hey, Reggie, let's talk again soon. I want there's a bunch of folks ringing the phone, so I want to get everybody a chance to talk who wants a chance to talk. Take care, Reggie. Have a good night, my friend.
You too, Bob.
All right, bye now.
Don't work too hard. Keep on, man.
Work as hard as we got to. Later, my friend. Bye now. Reggie calling from Decatur. And let's run over to the other line. And is that you, Todd?
Who, me?
Yeah, that would be you.
Oh, yeah. I remember me. Look, I like what you said just a minute ago. Keep that momentum up. I mean, this is like when we have to vote straight Democratic. Don't worry about the idiosyncrasies. Weed that out later, because even if the infiltrators, that will come out in the wash. This is no time for bullshit. You know, these are serious times. But it just seems like there's so much. You know how we were talking about a general malaise? You know, it's so much shit in the funnel. This is what they want to happen. People don't want, you know, want positive things to happen. But back to your, wow, you touched, I don't know what the hell you were on today. You just got the whole
I got a little bit of sunshine on my pale pink hide, and it made all the difference in the world, Todd.
I'm not fucking with you, man. I'm serious. I mean, your shit was that. Damn, you kept coming back. Another point. What? I mean, you're always on fire, but damn. You man, seriously, you have to put a star by this by your filibuster. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm just saying everybody has to know that. Who is listening? Come on.
Well, I would absolutely love, as I've said before, and this isn't merchandising and this isn't marketing. I want more people in this conversation. I want a reason to expand the program to 4 or 5 hours if necessary. And we're trying to grow the group. And so I put out a post on social media before the program that said, if you've had enough of Jussie Smollett for one goddamn day or maybe a whole fucking lifetime, then come on by, because we will not be talking about that case, because there are white-wing domestic terrorist extremists running around this country plotting to murder people for nothing more than their political convictions, because they have been incited to do so by the sitting president of the United States of America.
That is why, that, you know what, you are Sergio Segway once again. Sometimes the absence, the silence is deafening. This mug, the MILF, the mentally ill fascist, will spend
Well, that's
time,
a meaning of MILF I've never wanted to contemplate, you know, kind of.
Well, he's the bad MILF. He ain't the good MILF. You know what I'm saying? The bad MILF. The MILF you don't want to deal with. The MILF no one wants to deal with, that we all have to deal with because he's there. The MILF. People, MILF. Look, he has taken over minds. Weak-minded people. Simple people. We have
to I agree, Todd, but let's modify that just a little bit.
Yeah.
Some of those minds didn't have to be taken over. All they had to be handed was a great big medicine dose of confirmation bias. They were sitting there waiting. They were sitting there aching, yearning for someone to come along and tell them that all of that festering, pustulant hate that exists inside their beings is not only okay, but right and good and patriotic and American and Etche Trump.
Right. Yeah. You know, I was not around in around the turn of the century between 1910 and 1922. However, if anyone looks at history, it feels like what we read from that time, because this is what they did. They said, oh, there's no racism. There's no Klan. The Klan is marching down Constitution Avenue or Pennsylvania Avenue in D.C. This is cut, you know, we're at a different inflection point. And people have to, the more people ignore, it's like if you ignore, you're part of the problem. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, for instance, we talked the other day, obviously, and I didn't get to ask you if you had ever been to that town in Alabama of the editor who said, well, you know, the Klan needs to come back and we have to go lynch those folks with hemp.
It's about 100 miles west of Montgomery toward the Mississippi line. And I have to, if I haven't been in the town, I have to have driven by it. And so I wish it wasn't Alabama. I'm glad it isn't West Virginia. I wish it hadn't happened anywhere. I wish, because that guy's not that much older than me. So
that's a terrible thing.
So that means that the generational work of getting past this evil is having problems. And nobody down in that town is going to stop buying his shitty little newspaper either. Guess what? So it extends beyond that, Todd, into it's the Steve King problem. Yes, Steve King is the open face of it. Or the Eric Porterfield problem. Yes, he is the visible face of it. But behind him are thousands and thousands of people who agree with him.
Right. Okay. So, right. Okay. Wonderful. So, you know what this is? We have a disease. And a disease, you can break it down, is a dis-ease. A dis-ease. An imbalance. And the first part of of getting rid of a dis-ease, you have to recognize the problem. We have to accept the fact that we have a large segment of our population in this country that is okay with being really racist and really, just really racist. Not only that, really racist, misogynistic, homophobic, just, you know, the tendency that folks who live mostly in cities don't identify with. So this is like a rural versus urban type of conflict we're dealing with now.
Yeah, and you know what? And let me add into that mix, Todd. I don't have time in because the nature of the struggle is so almost inexpressibly desperate. I do not have time to spend another second of my life listening to, economic anxiety of the white working class. And yet, lo and behold, we've got a candidate out there who's going to play that card and that game all fucking over again. There are political candidates who are going to spend their time trying to convince people who are already predisposed to hate their goddamn guts, who just still love Donald Trump, to somehow, come over to our side. When there is an aching majority in this country of people of color, whether that be African Americans or Hispanics, the vast majority of women of color, 48% of white women in this country, and about maybe 30% of white men who are saying, Jesus H. Christ, please, we want to build the coalition necessary to save this country. And there's a couple of candidates who are going to go off and go, well, I want to find out about their economic anxiety, Ange.
But see, those folks don't know what empirical means, and that's part of the problem. And that you mentioned, I think you said empirical at least three times. Now, who else out here in talk radio land, all right, is even mentioning that word?
Because, well, nobody. I mean, that's why we struggle to survive. We use big words here. We don't. We don't give out simple pat answers. We don't explain that. We don't claim that we have this problem or that problem because of that. Minority of Americans. I mean, and it's all wrapped up in it. Everything's all wrapped up in everything else, Todd. For God's sakes, in another 20 years, if not more, if not less, white folks are going to be the minority in this country. And what are we going? I mean, how? I mean, what? Jesus.
All right.
And maybe finally then, Todd, that'll be when America's ready to pay attention to the minority.
Well, see, I have to say this because people, I'm not the only one who's experienced this. All right. Look, white folks, look, black people do not, people of color, anyway, we just want to get along with life and not be shit on and not be discriminated against. You know, we don't care. We just don't want to be discriminated against. We don't care who's more of this, more of that, because at the end of the day, the white power structure will still be there. The power elite will still be there. It doesn't matter. That's what killed King, and that's what killed Malcolm X, too. You see, it's all about the power elite against the regular folk, because if you work for a check, look, there are more wealthy people now than ever. See, than ever. These folks have a plan. If you work for a check, if you work, if you anything, They're people who don't work. They're, you know, they live on interest.
Coupon clippers.
But see, you get me off my own.
Sitting there watching their convertible debentures.
So, you know, don't get, we get all getting distracted, and it's a lot of distraction. But sometimes the friend of your friend, the enemy, sometimes the people, you can get along with folk for a certain amount of time, build coalitions, and then move on. But you know what? At the end of the day, most of us are in the same coalition. Because if you work for a check, you got to understand these people have... There are people going into space right now. They know that this planet is going to be polluted. They're making... Why do you think... That, come on. That damn Odyssey lasted... It was built to last 90 days, and it lasted 15 years. I want a pickup like that. That can be done. Obviously, that can be fucking done.
But in the meantime, Todd, we've got to get to November 2020 without these fuckers getting their civil war on. You know, I'm not.
Don't you hear that shit? Oh my God!
I mean, I've been 10 years. Today was kind of a trip into the time machine for me.
No, because I go up on a tangent. I have to stop. I really do. I thought my fucking little chunk. You know, I've been kicking shit around so much. I thought my shit was all fucked up this morning. I'm like, they don't allow people to talk over each other on this type of... No, that's not happening. What? Are you serious? These motherfuckers were talking over each other for... Oh, I say 90 seconds. That's a lifetime. Am I exaggerating here?
Well, no. There's a rule there. Joe can talk over anybody. Nobody can talk over Joe. And given what you've done in your life and what I've done in my life, when somebody starts that game, you kind of wonder what they're trying to keep from coming out.
That's what I'm talking about.
But, you know, Kristen Soltis Anderson.
Oh, that's what's right. Oh, Bob, that's right. Wait a minute. Let me get this out. Exactly. Oh, what a segue. Listen, we're dealing with a super fascist. The first fucking thing this asshole said, the MILF. I want to libel rules. We got too much freedom of the press. We have to be able to hold these people accountable. Now, who else did that? I'm just saying, anybody who knows history, I'm not going to say shit because I feel like it's a terrible thing when you can't bring up a certain type of person with a funny mustache and you get looked at. You know, ducks are ducks. So, that's how this shit started. Way back. That's how this started.
Well, and there's another possible conclusion out there out of this morning. And that is they brought on Kristen Soltis Anderson. And I'm speculating here, and I admit it.
Oh God.
Because back when Joe Scarborough was saying whatever about the DHS report on domestic right-wing extremism in this country and the threat that returning veterans would be recruited by right-wing extremist terrorist organizations. And he said, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back then, from the looks of things, Kristen Soltis Anderson was probably still playing with Barbies. So she's not going to have...
What is she, like 23? 24, maybe.
Whatever. I mean, maybe she just looks really young. And I'm not trying to be an asshole here. But there is no way that she came into that interview knowing that Joe Scarborough had literally laughed at the idea that what has happened now was being warned against 10 years ago. But if you bring in somebody old enough to know some goddamn history, then they may have done to Joe Scarborough what Jon Stewart did to the guys on Crossfire all those years ago. You know, stop mm-hmm. being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
physician, heal thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Alex, in the booth, Hey, can you cue up the tape from April the 15th where Joe is mocking the idea that right-wing domestic terrorist organizations might recruit returning vets? Could you do that, Alex, in the booth?
Bob, there's too much shit going on at one time right now. You see, he got the silence, because that's a big deal. This Coast Guard dude, and that's being, all this shit is being, is getting in the way of that big story, because that's a whole show right there, what that's about. Now, there is,
I mean, that's what I'm trying to do here. I mean, I'm not, that was not aimed. That's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to make an entire show about the desperate threat of right-wing extremism in this country.
What the fuck? I just can't believe it. I mean, where is the press? Now, you know, I was talking. Well,
apparently, the press are in goddamn Chicago.
Well, wait a minute. Right, and I'm scaring the shit out of me. I'm like, oh my God, we're here.
I can't afford to fling my
fucking firmly fascism now.
I can't afford to fling my last remaining tablet across the room, but I was damn close to it this morning when 10 o'clock hit and they went to their next show and they opened with that shit in Chicago.
Man.
Not the guy who wanted to murder the Speaker of the House and a couple of senators and a bunch of presidential candidates reasonably liberal broadcast guy. No, they don't open with that. They open with some dude doing a live stand-up outside fucking Chicago.
We're in trouble. We are in trouble.
I mean, that's like that's like, you know, you've got a Reichstag fire and you open your 10 a.m. hour with a live stand-up from a ski resort in the Bavarian fucking Alps.
And like you did. This shit ain't fucking funny.
This, I mean, if I sound like I'm coming a little unglued, I apologize.
No, you know what you sound like? You sound like you're a concerned American citizen, a real American. Red, white, and blue, a real American. A real American that doesn't have to chant USA. You know, a real American. That comes to the table with some intelligence and some knowledge and some background.
And like I said, one of the things that terrifies me the most is that every passing day means that this FBI is less likely, less able to find guys like this cat in the Coast Guard, because they are being tasked. They're being tasked away from it because this matters. You know, these things matter. It wasn't that long ago that we found out that the Trump administration, DOJ, was de-emphasizing investigations of domestic right-wing terrorism. That's a fact, Todd. Sorry, not yelling at you.
You're not. It is. And I think people need to understand that. That was, and remember, that was Jeffrey, that was one of the first things he did with that gleam in his eye. He said, I'm getting rid of those Browns from the South. And you know what? We ain't got no white terrorism. You know what? That Black Lives Matter. They is the terrorists. When all the data would indicate that for the past, 100,000 years? No, I'm serious. No, you know, come on. That is ridiculous. The data indicates that we've been talking about this forever. So this is why he was not eligible to be a federal judge. You know, and this is what there's a frequent caller. I'm not going to say his name right now because that wouldn't be appropriate. You know, love him to death and everything. But his sing-song thing about, oh, this will pass. You know what? This shit ain't going to pass that quickly. Because this is the thing. Our institutions,
the institutions are damn near shattered, whether we recognize
it
or not.
They're shattered. That's the thing. That's the office of the president. And this has been an evolution. But he has just taken this whole cabal. We've had a fucking coup. We're in the middle of it now.
And this one, I don't know if this will mean anything to you. I know it'll mean something to a few people. There's a question out there, and it's a 2,000-plus-year-old question.
Oh, Bob, come on, man.
Wait a minute. Are you sincere?
All right, in what language was this shit? All right, it's Latin. Okay.
Quo usque tandem abudere Catalina patientia nostra. How long, Catalina, will you continue to abuse our patience? That's from the In Catalinam by Cicero.
Cicero.
Quo usque tandem abudere trumpo patientia nostra. But that question can just as well be posed to the people who think that somehow or another they can, if they pretend hard enough, if they clap fucking loud enough, Tinkerbell won't goddamn die.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
Tinkerbell is fucking dead.
This is all beyond the shit that he's doing now. This is what these motherfuckers don't understand. This is setting precedents for the next president, whoever the president is. Our whole shit is about to be fucked up. Am I out of order here?
Look, next week we're told, whether we can believe this or not, who knows, because we've all got seats at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Next week we're told it's all going to be wrapped up. Mueller's going to fold his tent, pack his bags... take off his cardigan sweater, put on his sport coat, and tell us how much he's enjoyed being our neighbor, and go off away to his happy place.
Put his feet up in front of him, pack his pipe up with some good drum.
and then we're going to rely on the good graces of Bob Barr, the guy who rat fucked Special Counsel Walsh, to do the right thing and tell us just how much damage Donald Trump has done to the institutions of this constitutional republic.
Man.
The question is real. How long will he continue to abuse the norms of this country, Todd, before the people who we elect to maintain this country fucking do something about it?
All right.
The National Emergency Declaration could have been, still is, the grounds for a one-count impeachment that would sail through the House of Representatives, and then we could finally make Mitch McConnell fish or cut bait.
All right, Bob Kincaid, I don't think that maybe, and please correct me if I'm being hyperbolic or being all, you know, crazier than usual. I don't think most Americans understand right now. This is the craziest inflection point probably since the Civil War, maybe, when Lincoln had to use a lot of executive orders and do a lot of things, in that with this, the government, the stretches that this government is taking now, I mean, this is not good. I had a little mental lapse right here. I missed it. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I do. I really, really do.
It's frightening.
Rotate our country a couple of degrees through the multiverse, and imagine us if that guy doesn't get caught. Now, I'm not asking anybody to engage in any sort of terrorism porn or anything, but what I'm trying to get at is, you and I both know how it would be covered. Whether it's that Morning Zoo crew or any other program throughout the day. We would be subjected to a litany of thoughts and prayers and shock And we wouldn't be sure if we could call it domestic terrorism because he was white. It might have been a hate crime. You know, a lot of times they use hate crime to deflect from domestic terrorism. And we'd be told that, well, you know, thoughts and prayers and oh, this is terrible. And, oh, he must have been crazy. And then Congress would do nothing.
That's pretty sad.
And if in fact, and you know, let's be clear, it wouldn't be because the Democrats in the House wouldn't do anything. It would be because the man who owns America, Mitch McConnell, wouldn't allow anything to be done.
Oh, that motherfucker. Wait, did you see the, story where only 33%, like, well, you know, that is a, no, we'll see. But I'm not trying to bring it off, but he's got low favorability in his state, finally. But, I mean, it's almost too late because the degradation of our institutions, you know, this is going to take, you know, like we talked about the other day, it's easy to destroy. And we try to build this back up. I mean, how do you build it back up when the powers of the presidency have changed, you know, the precedents have changed? The Supreme Court is all weird. These people are weird. Bob Barr?
Well, I know. Botany Bay. Botany Khan.
But yeah, man, this terrorist thing, that is, to me, that's like, wow, that's frightening as hell. I mean, he's in the Coast Guard, so he's not, man, come on. He's talking to somebody. They're not letting us know. There's a network of these people, like we talked about.
Yeah. And you know, this determination to maintain the fantasy, the fiction, that because I've heard it said, well, you know, no matter how crazy he's gotten, we're certainly proving that the Constitution is resilient enough to blah, 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 blah. As David in South Carolina stand. Just reminded me, a very intelligent, very determined, and therefore underappreciated reporter by the name of Sarah Kendzior. She's been on MSNBC. She's been on my buddy Rick Smith's show. She tweeted not too long back, the national emergency gives Trump...
She has a doctorate. That's Dr. Kendzior.
Yeah, the national emergency... Well, I got one, too. The national emergency gives Trump the ability to use an internet kill switch to shut down citizens' bank accounts, to deploy troops to attack protesters. There's no end to the national emergency because it's tied to his fantasy wall.
His fantasy wall.
And that was one of the first things I thought about because we were discussing the internet, the presidential power to kill the internet. Way, way, way back when it was made a thing. Darlene in Connecticut says, multiverse thought experiment. We'd be told it was an isolated incident. And no matter how many incidents there are, every one of them, as Darlene points out, is going to be an isolated incident. Thoughts and prayers,
Bob.
Y'all.
I'm sorry that I got really excited. Well, I'm not sorry, but I really got excited, and I was like, no, stop, stop. But that was part of what I was thinking about, because the research, like when you declare a national emergency, this was actually the frightening part of what would happen if he became president. This is the worst-case scenario. Our shit is fucked up. We got this compromised motherfucker who is an unindicted co-conspirator with an adversary. Who knows what he's given up of secrets? And look at this. Man, nobody's talking about the guy they picked up, right? The guy they picked up in Russia, the American. We don't even know. And Flynn had a whole list. He has all compromised. So in other words, he had the list of people who were agents over in Russia, spying. So, and look at McCabe. McCabe, his specialty was looking at Russian agents. What did Trump do? He got, oh, you got to go, motherfucker. You got to go.
And yet, and this is because I am a partisan. I want to point out, you know, because so much has been made of, well, the other night, I think it was Lawrence O'Donnell looked at him, said, looked at McCabe and said, sir, you're a Republican, aren't you? And he said, yep. And he said, been one for a while, have you? And he said, yeah, I voted for every Republican candidate for president up till 2016. And that, you know, that made the little hair stand up on the back of my neck. Because that meant that in 2000, he voted for George W. Bush. And in 2004, he voted for George W. Bush. And in 2008, he voted for John McCain. And in 2012, he voted for Bishop Willard Romney. Now, for me, this call, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm not trying to break anybody's heart. This calls his judgment into question for me. Because that means that means, especially with 2000. So 2000, he votes for George W. Bush. 2004, we already know that George W. Bush's war against the innocent people of Iraq cost the lives of a million Iraqi civilians. And Andrew McCabe said, cool by me, and voted for Bush again.
Well, but that's the culture of the FBI, it always has been. All right, I can give you a firm example from my personal experience. Now, Malcolm Nance, he's from Philadelphia. And like I've been telling you, there's a lot of black Republicans
hipped us to that way before November 2016, and it was freaking you right out.
Yep, you remember that. You remember, and people thought I was crazy. I was like, no, man. I told you, the Philadelphia suburbs are a microcosm. When you blend that area in, like where I was living, it's a microcosm of the whole country. It really is. You got those hard-hat white folks who never had no education. They got good factory jobs. We got it. You know, it's just everything. So anyway, when that started cracking, I was like, oh, shit. If you can't get that, you're done. So my point is that you had folks like that, like Malcolm Nance, who are speaking out. You see, especially being black, you're not gonna be in that. You're a Republican. You're a conservative. It's not. And I know people. I'm just saying. I know people, and that, you know. It doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. And this discord is going to widen. It just plays on what was already there. And I kind of lost my train of thought a little bit, but yeah, because you caught me off guard. But yeah, you know, it's just frightening. And I think we can do better. We have to try.
But as was the case with my conversation with Reggie, we have to try to figure out a way out. Otherwise, we're just Schrodinger's country, okay? The country is both alive and dead in the box at the same time until somebody looks. Unless we figure out a way out of the box or out of the trunk or out of the pit, out of the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the norms are shattered, the only way I see out of it is to vote with such extreme prejudice that we can get rid of Democrats in or not just Republicans in squishy districts, but get rid of the Mo Brooks Les Brainses in Alabama. And the Steve Cantaloupe's King.
Oh my God!
And the Louis Asparagus Gomerts.
Wait a minute, Mo Brooks. I saw now. Know why you make fun of him? Oh my God! Oh my! How is that motherfucker holding office? He's a crazy motherfucker. Oh my
because there God. Are people in that district as bad as he is.
He is insane. Oh,
maybe
my
worse.
God.
And let me just throw one more thing in there, okay? And this may piss some people off. Sorry. In 2020, we do not have the luxury of primarying Democrats.
No. Go, you bring it full circle. No.
If you beat a blue congressman with a blue primary challenger who then gets his or her ass handed to her in November, by primarying that person, you have turned the district from blue to red. The only people who get challenged are Republicans, period. I'm sorry if that means that a few mugwumps are gonna still be in there, but it's a parlor game we do not have time for.
I love that term, by the way. Mugwump. You, Bob, I cannot agree with you more, and this is why this is why folks, you know, the big elections are sexy, but this is why we have to really vote D, all the way bottom to the top, because, and then if people are messed up, like look, nobody liked Clinton. This is what these motherfuckers don't understand. It's not like nobody, the only people who liked Clinton were the black church ladies with the hats. You know, come on. You know, it's not even about that. It's about we have to get people in. And if they fuck up, weed them out. We don't care. You know, if you fuck up, look, we got you in there. Do the right thing. If you don't, you're gone. But we have to get people from our side in there to make the votes, to be there, placeholders. Because those people are Nazis. They're fascists. They are lockstep. They have... This is what we have to learn. This is remember we talked about this a few. I was like, man, I hope we don't have a whole lot of people running. Oh God, I hope we don't. Now we got a million motherfuckers running. But at least, what's going to happen? Joe's not saying shit because he's going to wait till everything settles out. And he may step in, he may not. But
Let me go back to that leave Democrats out of your primary and ambitions statement real quick, because I want to make abundantly clear that I'm consistent in this. It would not bother me a nickel's worth if Tulsi Gabbard and her weirdo Hare Krishna backers got bounced the fuck right out of office. She's a warmonger, of a sort. She's a she's an Islamophobe. She went to Trump Tower and kissed the fucking ring. Okay.
Really?
Oh yeah. And so it would not bother me a nickel's worth if she got beat in a primary and somebody's out there preparing to primary her. But I don't think we've got that luxury.
We don't have a whole lot of luxury. See, I don't think people have been doing research, maybe. I wasn't until recently, but this is executive order. You know, this is the beginning of the end. We have to stop this mug.
That's the thing. If shit should happen by some miracle to get real as a result of the Mueller investigation, you can expect him to go batshit crazy, ape shit bananas.
Yep.
That might be when the kill switch gets flicked and the internet goes dark. Because this man has tyrannical, dictatorial, not just intentions, but tendencies and ambitions. And I don't think he would hesitate to do something like that in a damn minute.
But this is what I don't understand, Bob. People around him have to know. Everyone knows he is not sane. Everyone knows that now. I mean, it's just public knowledge. And I meant to send you that link. There's a link. Oh, everyone. And I don't know. Nobody's probably listening because everybody hates me. But listen.
Nobody hates you.
There's a link on YouTube. Well, look. There's a link on YouTube. And it's got Dr. Brandy Lee on there. It's got oh my God, it's got the whole cadre of psychiatrists. It's recent. It's in the past 3 weeks, maybe. So I don't know if you've seen it, but it's Brave New Films. On matter of fact, just anybody who wants to see it, go to Google Brave New Films, Brandy Lee, and 25th Amendment. And that, you know, that should, if you, you know, I don't even know if there's bullying anymore. I'm old, you know, bullying service, I don't know. Whatever. But that will bring it up. And it's nice. It's really good. It's high quality. It's like half an hour long. So you know what? This is what I'm saying. We are at an inflection point, because it's almost the good versus the bad now. It's like, are we gonna, you know, do things the right way or the wrong way? This is really, really a serious time. This is a serious time. I mean, there's so much going on. Our country is so weak now. What would happen if we can't even afford a crisis? Our crisis is now. Our crisis is within. What would happen if we can't even afford a fucking hurricane? What would happen if we had a hurricane now? Talk to me.
Yeah. No. What would happen if we had a hurricane right now? It would depend entirely on how many white people were affected. If a lot of white people were affected, we'd have recovery efforts. But if it was brown people, like in Puerto Rico, well, their recovery money's going to go build a fucking fence.
Oh, shit. Wait a minute. Well, I'm going to give you a good segue. For some reason, I was up this morning, and there was a Boondocks episode. And it was a Katrina episode. Oh, my God. So, I don't know if you've ever seen the Boondocks.
Oh, yes.
Well,
I'm a fan.
Look.
All the way back to when it was a comic strip before it was a TV show.
Right, exactly. So, the TV show was on, I guess it was Comedy Central. I don't know. But, so the second cousins came to stay at the house. And from Katrina, there were second cousins, you know, overalls, and they were bringing a canoe up in the house, and I mean, it was, and they stayed there forever, and it ate up all the food, and the toilets were backed up. It was a mess. That shit was too funny, man. That's I just wanted to try to laugh a little bit.
Oh no! I wasn't kidding when I said I got a little sunlight on my pink hide. And it energized me in a big way.
Well, you were on fire. And when I sent you those yesterday, you know, the full spectrum light, you know, you got to mix cool with, you know, red and cool white. You know, like when, for some reason, I don't know, when horticulture, that makes a difference. Yeah. So people are trying to talk to you. And I really didn't mean to talk this long, but man, you just... We got to stay fired up. We can't. This is it, man. This is the firewall. We say no to bullshit. This is bullshit.
Well, you know, I'm curious because so often things happen here. So often things happen here, Todd, that don't happen anywhere else. And for instance, I wonder if anybody else out there will compare and contrast Joe Scarborough's hissy today with his hissy of almost 10 years ago. Maybe. Possibly. I don't know.
This motherfucker, man, come on. And you know, I stopped watching those. That's when I stopped.
No, but I mean, do you think anybody else will do that?
I don't know, man. I ain't paying attention. Because, I mean, he's a... I was going to say the bad word now.
And this actually is not completely off topic, but it's worth sharing.
Uh-oh.
Because this is the kind of media shenanigans we're gonna just sort of have to get used to, is because whether we like it or not, we're in the 2020 silly season, and we have to remain focused while the multimillionaire for-profit media it goes off and gets silly. So we talked a little bit about the hissy. There's that word again. the connection.
I don't know, Bob. That's a little bit of sexist word, man. That's inside. You got.
No, it's not. Anybody can have a hissy.
Are you? Well, okay.
Hey, but I was talking last night about the people who, oh, my God, Kamala Harris. Oh, she's just trying to be like Hillary, and she's putting hot sauce on her greens. You know, utterly, you know, some white dude, utterly oblivious to the fact that you eat hot sauce on greens.
You do.
And some white white folks even drink the hot sauce straight out the bottle. Me.
Everybody in the South does that shit.
Well, so here's what happened. There's a guy who is a reporter for WABC-TV in New York, named Dave Evans.
Oh, boy.
Now, with a name like Dave Evans, he's... just to paraphrase the old advertising slogan, with a name like Dave Evans, he's got to be white. Well, he tweeted today because, see, Kamala Harris sat down and had lunch with Reverend Al. Okay? You can see how this could be a problem. It may be almost as bad as when, I don't know, Bill O'Reilly was surprised when he went
Wait,
to...
Wait, was it Reverend Al or yeah, Reverend Al and his teeth?
No, now quit that. It was Reverend Al. And you remember way back when Bill O'Reilly went to, what was it, Sylvia's in Harlem? And he was so surprised at how well-behaved the black people were. That's my Richard Pryor white people voice.
Wait, do it again, please.
I was so surprised how well-behaved those black people were.
Damn you, niggers. Oh, sorry.
What? Todd! So enter Dave Evans, 2019... After the great hot sauce controversy of 2019.
Oh, no. Niggers and hot sauce? What?
Quit that.
Iowa, boy.
Stop it. Stop it, Spock. He's dead, Jim. No, sadly.
Damn it, Jim.
Bill O'Reilly is sadly still with us. So after the great hot sauce controversy of 2019, Dave Evans of WABC-TV, Action News Eyewitness Team Coverage, tweets a picture of Reverend Al and Kamala Harris having lunch. Now, Reverend Al, and I guess this explains how thin he became, he's probably starving to death, Reverend Al has gone... This explains how thin Reverend Al has become because he's gone vegan.
Oh,
I had
man.
No idea, but apparently, yes, he's starving to death. And so they sit down for a meal together. They sit down. Now, see, you're going to break me up. You got a great laugh, man. And we damn well needed that laugh, but you got to let me get through this, because this is very important professional media news gathering.
Okay.
So Dave Evans of Action Team News Action Center Live Eyewitness Coverage WABC-TV New York posts this photograph and a tweet saying, noting, of course, that, and he added both Kamala Harris and Reverend Al, so he dragged them into, he jumped into both of their timelines, and he notes that Reverend Al has toast and bananas, and then he says, chicken and waffles? Seriously? For at Kamala Harris? And toast and bananas for the Reverend Al? It's that seriously part that makes it racism. But what makes it right. weird is the implication in that is that somehow Kamala Harris, she doesn't even talk like a black person. I'm sure she would never ever actually eat chicken and waffles.
Listen, I got it.
But wait, here's where it gets kind of strange.
Are you trying to be all Ron Popeil on me, man?
Well, kind of, yeah. But I'm also kind of going to be a little George Norrie. Or Art Bell.
Shit. Uh-oh. Here we go. Okay.
I don't know how I do it, but I do it. You know, every prayer meeting Wednesday, I have to come up with a menu for the little old blue-haired ladies in the Fellowship Hall kitchen to make for Fellowship Hall dinner. And usually it has something to do with something I like to eat or something that I remember the real little old blue-haired ladies fixing. But for reasons that are utterly unknown to me, I mean, it's not like I can control this, Todd. If you go back to last night's archive file, you will find that I had the little old blue-haired ladies in the Fellowship Hall kitchen the night before taking a whole bunch of chicken pieces and soaking them in a great big vat of mayonnaise and buttermilk and all kinds of seasoning, including lots and lots of Lowry's.
Okay.
And then they got out the great big industrial iron skillets, and they put the oil in it, and they set to frying the chickens, and then they got out, because they had a wild hair, the little old blue-haired ladies of the Fellowship Hall kitchen of the Cathedral of Common Sense, they got out the cathedral waffle irons, and they served, that's right, fried chicken and waffles last night on prayer meeting Wednesday. I get up today. I've been in a different place in my head zone all day long. I sit down. I know what the program's going to be about. We're going to talk about the Coast Guard terrorist, but then I see this, and I go, "What the f- is going on here?"
And you were feeling good.
Wednesday, I make up this bogus chicken and waffles Fellowship Hall meal, and I get and I come in the studio to do my research, and there's a white guy from Action News Live Eyewitness Team Coverage WABC TV having a conniption over Kamala Harris having chicken and fucking waffles.
Oh shit. Did the top of your head just pop off?
And
you're like, what?
Well, it wasn't the top of it, it was more like what kind of eldritch magic am I messing with? I better stop.
Eldritch.
This is just weird.
Little off your navel yard, baby.
Oh.
Oh my God, man. That is the one
time. I mean, I don't think people who can fold space can do that. Or maybe I unintentionally folded space in my sleep and ran into the future and saw Reverend Al with his toast and bananas and Kamala with her chicken and waffles. And where was the goddamn hot sauce?
No, you know what? Oh my God, here's another. Because he always says there's no. I've heard George Norrie say this. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people who like I heard Scott, you know. I mean, you know, people who like radio. You know, when I was doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing, I would be up late at night. You know, I couldn't go to sleep. And I had to, oh, God, I got 2 more hours so I have to go to work. I can't sleep. You know, you're up. So,
oh, Jesus, you know, I hated those. Well, yeah. Oh, now I'm up. Oh,
you
I'm
know
gonna,
what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm going to be in hell at hour 6 at work. I'm going to have to prop my eyelids open with toothpicks.
You know, I mean, it's crazy because you're like, you start rationalizing, like, you know, they say you need 8 hours. Okay. So, you know, you come home, you go to happy hour, you go to the after happy hour, you go to the after happy hour, you go, you know, blah, blah, blah. By the time you get home, it's like, oh, I have a whole 4 hours and well, I'm still awake. Oh, I have a whole 2 hours of sleep. Oh, that's enough. And, you know, you listen, so it's not enough. And you're listening, you know, so you listen to Coast to Coast, you know, saying just so I, apparently I wasn't.
And,
the only
you know,
one.
Maybe you catch an interview with Andrew Basiago. Right.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, it is, you know, it was a, you know, whatever, you know, it's life. People do things,
That's all I can say. And God forbid my kid, no. And live and learn. But my God, man, what? That is so anyway, so one thing that Nuri, which he's an asshole. What the fuck? And Art was an asshole. You know what? It took me a while to. I like this product, but, you know, he was a racist, man. When somebody sounded black calling him, he was like, he'd run him off the phone. You know what I mean? And I don't, what the fuck happened to George Norrie's a fucking Egyptian. And he's kind of, they are right wing. I don't know. They're right wing people, but whatever. You know, they have a nice product. But see, I can separate because I'm a professional. You know, I can separate the product from the person. And sometimes we have to do that. Like, there are people who can do a good job, and you may not agree with them, like the politics or whatever. As long as it doesn't bleed. See, that's the thing. Everyone is not able. That's my problem with cops. We hired the most uneducated people to do a really important job.
And, I remember a story from years and years and years ago about a guy who sued and lost because he wanted to be a cop, I think, in New York City. And he had like a 122 IQ. And the New York Police Department said, oh, Jesus, sorry. We don't hire anybody with an IQ over 100, dude.
Yeah, right. Well,
because, you know, we don't want somebody out there doing a lot of that thinking. We just want somebody to follow orders and bust heads.
Well, that's what they teach you in school. They say, well, you know, we take criminology. Like, well, they really don't. They want people, average folk who just see things and you know, there's no middle ground. They want people who see it's not black and white, like racial, but, you know, right and wrong in their mind. You know, you don't have any time. You got to make quick decisions. And anyway, but yes. So, oh, my God, what a story. I'm sorry I got off on a tangent.
And I'm sitting here looking at the photo right now, and I just noticed something. I was so caught up in the toast and the bananas and the chicken and the waffles.
Wait a minute. Wait, let me finish. So George always says there are no coincidences.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Randy tells me that was Connecticut where they didn't want anybody with an IQ over freezing to be a police officer. So I'm looking at the photo of Kamala Harris and Reverend Al, and I noticed, because it sort of blends into the photo, but I suddenly noticed there's a guy, a person, I don't know, male, female, with their head and shoulders under the table. But what's even weirder is that they have their, the service aprons you have in a restaurant where you keep the little order book and the pencil and your money for making change and things like that, or you drop your tips in, what have you.
Yeah.
Well, that apron is tied, only it's tied in such a way, I mean, I'm assuming, because I can't really blow it up, I'm assuming it's an apron string that's tied, but it looks like a pair of black, thick-rimmed glasses on this person's waist that makes their backside sort of look like a face.
What?
I kid you not. Too weird for words. So... But Todd, thank you for joining me out on the ledge and calming me down a little bit. I do appreciate it.
Look, man, I don't know when you're filibuster tonight. I mean, it's always great, but damn, I mean, the way you hit the point.
Wouldn't it be? I mean, if it was as good as you say, wouldn't it be neat if like 50,000 people could hear it? Wouldn't that just be cool?
Well, this is what I don't understand. I do not understand. Now, the person, we're not going to say his name, from Alabama. We're not going to say his name. Who? We're not going to say his name. But it would be, he could, just a stipend. Just, why not? Come on, because we know you listen. And we know people on your staff listen to this show. People around you listen to this show. And we give you people ideas.
people who listen to this show or contribute monetarily, intellectually, we give you folk ideas. So that's something to think about. And, you know, I used to give the snail mail thing, but you know, nobody, who the hell, I went to the post office the other day. Oh, my God. It's a shame that we're starving the post offices, man. I hate that shit. Ugh. No one likes to go to the post office.
Well, I still kind of do. I like my postmistress, and she lets me borrow her scissors to open packages and everything now and then. It's kind of cool.
Mr. Kincaid, we do not have a postmaster. I'm in the county seat. We don't have a postmaster. I mean, I'm politically active around here. Like, we don't have a postmaster.
Wow.
That's fucked up.
Well, you know, that's just South Carolina, and you having some of that there small government.
The county seat?
Yeah, it's a little weird. I mean,
but guess what we have? You know how many independent banks we have here? You know how many banks are in this little town, man?
Oh, that's because that's probably because there's a whole bunch of old money there.
Oh, these people, man, I don't know what these people are doing with money. The money got mold on it, man. I don't know what the fuck these people are doing with the money. I mean, and now they're digging up this. Look, they're about to price us out of here, man. Do you understand the property values? 13% a year. Do you understand it?
Oh, yeah, you're the guy that lives near the polo field. I get it.
Look, man, I got no choice. I'm going to have to look, they can have this shit. I don't want to be around here. I really don't. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I can't say yes or no. I have to see what happens, but... man, they're just, that's a big deal. Do you understand? You can't remember. It used to be you get 5%. You put your money in a savings account. You get 5 to 6%, whatever, you know, safe.
Yeah. Last time I saw the return on a 6-month certificate of deposit, it was like 0.5%.
Right. That was my next step. Then they went to the CDs and that went down. So 13%. I mean, what? Come on. What kind of investment can you make that you're going to get 13%?
No, not. It's because there's people far north of me who think, you know, I just want to go somewhere it's fucking warm. Fuck the hurricanes. I don't care if there's water up to my naked neck. I just want to be warm. Only not with that accent. It's more like, I want to be warm. Hey Todd, yeah. I'm going to try to wedge one more phone call in here, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. It's been good. It's been real good. I appreciate it.
All right.
Later, my friend. You take care now.
You too, my friend.
Bye now. It's our buddy Todd pulling me off the ledge over to the stress line. Hey, what's happening? Hello. You're connected. I know you dialed into the toll-free number. You've been waiting patiently. Okay, I think we've got our little technical difficulties sorted out. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, on the media aspect of it, you know, the mainstream media in particular, but a different subject. This comes out of the New York Times byline 21 hours ago by an Alan Blinder. or Blinder. I don't know how it's pronounced. B-L-I-N-D-E-R.
Me either. We'll go with best guess.
I have no idea who he is. Okay. Okay. This is the title of his article. Okay. Inside a fly-by-night operation to harvest ballots in North Carolina.
Oh yeah, that's another one that needed touched on tonight. I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay. Now, you know, this was running on the scroll, the MSN scroll, you know, I call it the scroll, where it just flips through, you know, supposedly, you know, the top stories, you know, and there's usually about, you know, a dozen and a half different stories, you know. You can scroll through them and look on. So, inside a fly-by-night operation to harvest ballots in North Carolina, okay? I'm going to read this thing verbatim for a few paragraphs, okay?
Sure.
Raleigh, North Carolina. Kelly Hendricks was recruited into an illicit effort to sway a congressional race by a customer at a fast food restaurant where she worked. One day, Mrs. Hendricks was serving burgers and biscuits at a Hardee's in Bladen County. Soon after that, she was engaged in political shenanigans at the behest of her customer, L. McRae Dawlish Jr., a veteran campaign operative in a rural pocket of southeastern North Carolina, where one in four people lives below the poverty line. He resembled my dad so much that I just connected with him, Mrs. Hendricks said in tear-filled testimony this week before the North Carolina State Board of Elections, which is investigating the rogue voter turnout effort that Mr. Dawlish oversaw last year for the Republican candidate for Congress in the 9th District. Now the site of the last unsettled House race of the midterm elections. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Okay. I don't have a clue who this Alan Blinder is.
But we know the story.
This is a New York Times post.
I covered this story, you know, way back month and a half ago when it was first developing. It's absolutely filthy.
But this is regarding the testimony going before
that was given. Was given yesterday by the son of the minister who hired the dodgy company that suppressed and dummied up the votes.
Right, okay, so the state, but, okay, you know, I read three paragraphs, and I still can't figure out exactly what it's all about, you know what I mean?
Well, I'll be happy to help.
No. I don't want to know. I know exactly what's going on. I'm talking about the journalism here.
Okay.
I'm picking at the journalism.
Oh, sloppy, like sloppy writing.
Oh, I mean, what the fuck is inside a fly-by-night operation to harvest ballots in North Carolina? What the fuck kind of headline is that?
That we blame on the copy editor, and it's and you got to remember, the purpose of the headline is to generate clicks. It's not to convey information. It's not to inform the citizenry. It is to generate clicks. So if it's vague enough and weird enough, then maybe it'll get some clicks.
So a headline, you know, somewhere along the line of testimony taken in Republican Party election fraud in such and such county, that wouldn't generate more clicks?
No.
Than this shit?
No, not in the modern era. 10 things you need to know about string. That gets clicks. Inside a fly-by-night operation to harvest shrimp. That gets clicks.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to debate numbers with you or whatever. But, you know, to me, that's creative. That's a fucking creative headline. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't get, I always thought a headline is supposed to give you some sense of what the article's about. You know, or one of the most important points about what the article's about. To me, that's what a headline has always been about.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. So, let's leave that there. And let's go to a byline 1 hour ago. This is the Washington Post. Okay?
All right.
By a guy named Philip Bump. B-U-M-P. I have no idea who he is either. Okay, but this was posted 1 hour ago. And I believe there was also a short video. It's a part of it, too. But anyway, okay. Now, here's this headline. Washington Post, Philip Bump, 1 hour ago. A federal election will be rerun because of fraud. Republicans aren't talking about it much.
Yeah, you could equally write. You could write that equally well. Republicans aren't talking about it if they can help it.
Now, I like that one a little bit better. Not because I'm a Democrat, but you know, it's a little more informative about what's going on. Okay, so that's a fact. The election board did say rerun it. Okay, the Republican candidate who was in the lead, this guy Mark Harris, agreed. Okay, he was resisting that all along until the board voted, okay, just today, to rerun the election. Now, this still has to go to the state house. Okay, the legislature still has got to agree or disagree with that, one of the two. But I think they're going to agree to it simply because, you know, the end result is Nancy Pelosi's got to agree to seat this asshole. If the North Carolina legislature were to decide, nope, we're going to take the results as they are, sorry, State Board of Elections, you know, he goes to Washington, you know. But anyway, if they do the election, he's got to go through a primary also. So.
Well, what kind of pisses me off is the fact that, you know, yesterday he said, Mark Harris, and remember, this isn't just some garden variety Republican. This guy is a Farik. He's a Baptist minister. He says that women are supposed to be silent in church. He says that women are supposed to submit unto their husbands. Yeah, he's one of those weirdos. He's a real live, honest to God theocrat.
I'm not interested in all the details.
No. But what pisses
details of.
What pisses me off is that the guy got caught stone cold red-handed cheating, and instead of saying we're going to let the guy who didn't cheat, who probably won, go ahead and take a seat in Congress, i.e. the Democrat, they said no, we're going to give him a chance to cheat some more, and we're going to have a fresh election.
Well, exactly.
Which is the antithesis of justice.
We'll win. Okay. But then he also includes a chart, you know, so he's somewhat critical, being a little critical of the media, but he says, mentions of fraud on cable news, and he's got a little chart, and he's got a graph in a, you know, like a up and down chart between 1 and 2% daily 15-second segments mentioning fraud. I guess this is news from wherever. I don't know exactly what this is. You know, it's like 2%. You know what I mean? Just barely above 2% for either what was some of the election fraud allegations made by Republicans down there in Florida, and then the questions of the election in North Carolina. So that you know the. In other words, again, it's the main media glossing over everything. You know what I mean? In my opinion, when you read an article like Fly By Night You know what I mean? That's what we have to overcome. You know what I mean? We got nobody out there that wants to do journalism anymore. And I guess the last question I got is, where's the Woodward and Bernstein, okay, of today, on the Trump Russia conspiracy? You know, where's the Woodward and Bernstein of today? Who is that? Who are the ones who are really digging into Trump? You know what I mean? I mean, because you had a special counsel going, you know, when Woodward and Bernstein were doing their thing, you know, with Nixon, you know, and Creep and all that. You know, you had a special counsel, prosecutor, what have you. You know what I mean? Looking into things. So who's the Woodward and Bernstein of today looking into, you know, the
and it looks like it's outfits like the Daily Beast and BuzzFeed, and you know, to a certain extent maybe the Washington Post and maybe a little bit the New York Times. But if there's any cold comfort to be had, it is the fact that Woodward and Bernstein very nearly were not Woodward and Bernstein. The editor, Ben Bradley, early on was like, nah, this doesn't sound like a story. You know, go down to the court, see if anything's going on.
Oh, well, Ben Bradley's, you know, forget Ben Bradley.
Yeah. But it had the stars not aligned very nearly perfectly, it would be an entirely different story. And it's all the more difficult today. I mean, it's an easier question to answer. Where are the Woodward and Bernsteins not going to be? And the answer is on TV doing 30-second talks in the middle of a panel discussion with, you know, yeah, five other competing voices. That's where it's not going to be.
Well, but it's going to show up in the headline, you know, over time. So I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. You know. Yeah, but anyway, you know, I mean, I think our biggest problem in this country is media manipulation. You know, I'm not too worried about the right wingers shooting at me because fuck, I'm going to shoot back. You know what I mean? So I'm not that concerned about that. And, you know, the militia types. Although I will say that, you know, the left is probably going to be in rough shape, you know, if the shit really hit the fan, you know, and these fuckers really start wandering around in bands, you know, in this country. You know, you never know. I don't think it'll get to that. I don't think. Yeah, but you never know. You never know.
Well, I admit, to a certain extent, terrorized by the idea of the next Coast Guard lieutenant that they don't catch, because maybe they.
Oh well, there'll be one.
I said, especially because the Trump administration, mm-hmm, and of course nobody in the multimillionaire for-profit media mentioned this today that I heard of. Because the Trump administration literally de-emphasized investigations of right-wing domestic, yeah, terrorism in the Department of Justice.
Well, if people want to get any information, you're not going to get it from anybody in the USG these days. You know, you're going to have to go to, you know, like the outfit you talked about up there in, what was it, the state of Washington and Southern Poverty Law Center. You know what I mean? If you want information on these crazy groups out there, you know what I mean? They're actively trying to, you know, trying to do everything they can to, you know, mitigate, you know, their activity and their existence for that much, you know.
Yeah, but people like the Georgetown, not Georgetown, George Washington University Group, SPLC down in Alabama, to the extent that that they are, I mean, they're doing magnificent work, but they're also I don't know how they're also whispering into a howling wind.
I don't know. They're fighting court battle after court battle after court battle against these pricks. And winning them.
Yeah, make no mistake. Yeah.
You go and study their history and their track record about going after, you know, some of these hate groups, you know. But they, you know, they can only do so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they're,
I mean, consider how much better the discussion would have been on any of these cable programs today if any of the actual, real, honest-to-God, no-kidding experts on right-wing domestic terrorism had been heard from instead of, you know, cub reporters for a right-wing Washington newspaper.
Yeah, they should have Moore's D's on or somebody, you know, from...
Yeah, or you know, like I said, Dave Nywert, who literally wrote the book.
Yeah, I imagine I don't do Morning Joe no more because I cut the cable, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's, I could get up and, I don't know, do other things, but I like to sit and have a cup of decaf and pretend that life is normal for a minute. And, if nothing else, I can at least get a giggle out of it at how banal and vacuous the whole thing is, except for mornings like this when it seems like it's deadly serious and we wind up with wrestling instead. Hey, Gary, we're a little over, but good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for everything, and you have yourself a good evening, all right?
Okay. All right.
Bye. All right. Later. Bye now. That's our buddy Gary, off in New Mexico. And so I want to give Lady B the last word this evening. Let me see if I can properly translate what Todd was trying to say about today's filibobster. It was articulate, knowledgeable, erudite, and powerful. It was compelling and genuine. And it was delivered by a guy who knows what the fuck he's talking about because he's a part of those who have benefited from this sad and peculiar structure. Mad props to you, as the kids would say. I, for one, was actually moved by your passion. It fills me with gratitude to know there are educated, compassionate white people who know and acknowledge there is something very wrong with how we deal with racism in this country and aren't afraid to point it out. Bob, we are writing our own death sentence as a country if we don't deal with this hatred of our own people, and we need to deal with this shit right fucking now. I would go so far editorially as to say right fucking yesterday or decades ago, but the point remains. But Bob, for every woke white person, such as yourself, there will always be tons more who have no idea how much of a threat white supremacists pose to this country. And Lady B is absolutely correct. And what I think is saddest and most terrifying out of her observation there is that there will always be tons more who have no idea just how much of a threat white supremacists pose to this country. It's that always part that sort of, no sort of about it, that imposes the grief. And if we shall call it this, a sense of hopelessness. It's sad, but not surprising, Lady B continues. How the hell could you know your beliefs about minorities are incredibly backwards when all your life you've been bombarded with that message, the one that says those who don't look, talk, and think like you are a threat to your very existence, especially if the ones that give you that message all look, act, think, and talk almost exactly like you. Exactly. Here's a thought experiment. The next time you're in Walmart and see a middle-aged white guy in a MAGA hat with an open carry, one who feels he's been slighted just one too many goddamn times today, imagine if today is the day he decides to kill the Mexican woman behind the counter and everyone else who doesn't look, sound, or think like him. Now imagine you're one of the folks he thinks is a threat. But here's the weird part. You're not being paranoid or even irrational. It's just fucking life. And it's how you've always lived. In short, Bob, ponder this question. What is it that you would have to fear when you're the norm, the standard, the goal to which every ethnicity strives to be? How do you handle that? I can tell the answer. You'd spend your life kicking the people off the ladder behind you. That's what you'd do. But then again, what would I know, darling? I couldn't possibly be that astute. So I'll tell you what. Instead of being the one who's dealt with the existential threat of being a human being, yet still being dismissed because I have a darker skin color, I'll slip into a role that is comfortable for you. Sit down and put your feet up, darling. Would you like a cup of tea or a brandy, sir? Can I hum a tune for you while I get you a pillow? Yes, sir, you have nothing to worry about. Did you have a hard day? Let me fix you a plate and we'll talk about it. Smooches, Lady B. That is astonishing. No, not astonishing. Watch it, Bob, asshole. That's the kind of communication I love on this program. That's what makes this program so damn special. And what does Johnny Cash sing? I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I try. Because I try to be tuned in. I would never say I'm woke. Never in a million years. But I just try to be human and recognize everybody else's. And recognize everything that Lady B is talking about there. There's not a word in there that I can make more than what it already is. And it's real. And the only thing I can say about the guy with the maggot hat, with his freedom protector strapped on his hip because he's too much of a fucking chicken shit to go to Walmart for a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk without packing heat, is that I see that guy. I see those people. And I go the other way as quickly as I possibly can. Because I am scared of them. Oh, you know, just been exercising their Second Amendment right. Yeah, well, goddammit, this is my job. And every day or so, there's a fresh story about a guy who's just exercising his Second Amendment right. And, you know, and then one minute he's a lawful gun owner, the next minute the fucking L falls off and he's an awful gun owner. And there are ambulances and grieving families and medical bills that they can't pay and that nobody's going to pay for them. So thank you, Lady B. Thank you very, very kindly. I do appreciate it. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little program. Thank you to Don and Alex, our new Patreon subscriber, and Don, who sent me a note about becoming a monthly. So we will take that down to 700 and... $726.21, and we'll have a run at it tomorrow. Hope you'll all be, join in for Friday on the front porch. And I seldom ask this kind of thing, but if you're on social media, I'll be posting the podcast of this. And if you would be so kind as to share it around, not for the sake of my ego, but for the sake of trying to alert people to exactly where we are in this country and in this time, I'd appreciate it. I think the community as a whole would appreciate it. Because the more people who are alert to the potential horror and the existing horror that we've in which we find ourselves, the greater the likelihood, perhaps, that we can stop the greater horror from taking place. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you so very much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.Live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, celebrating 20 years at the point of the point of the spear in the human rights struggle, in the belly of the beast, in the midst of the sacrifice zone in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.